This is Animal Radio Network.
Ah, doesn't it feel good to get out of the studios?
Yes, it does. I love to be on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live today from Denver, Colorado. And CRCG, which stands for the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. And it's kind of an interesting thing. If you've been listening the last few weeks, we actually spoke to these guys a few weeks ago. They have a awesome swimming pool that's used to rehab dogs.
Dogs? Oh, I thought it was human when you said canine. Oh, no, it is canine.
Canine, yes.
Very good.
And actually, when we got here a few minutes ago, there were many, many dogs inside the pool. It's like a regular swimming pool inside an industrial complex building. And many of these dogs had a problem, hurt a leg, hurt a hip. And they're basically going through therapy.
Well, you know what? One thing I noticed is when it was time for them to get out of the pool and their owners told them to get out, they did. No, wait a minute. It doesn't work that way for kids.
No, it doesn't. Or cats, I noticed.
Yeah.
It's a very fun place. I got to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. It's actually better than I expected. And the dogs look like they have so much fun. It's like, Dad, can we go to the swimming pool this weekend? It looks so nice.
It's like a play date.
We have an incredible show for you today. And I hope you can stick around for all 3 hours, of course. If you can't, you can go to the website and figure it out. We post everything on the website. We're expecting Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald today. He'll be joining us, a great animal radio friend. And every time I say his name around here, everybody shrugs. Because I understand that Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald has a facility like this.
Well, all I know is that he is still an eligible bachelor.
Yeah, well, you
so
know what?
That's my...
you're crazy because yeah, well. he's not even here yet. He was supposed to be here at 10 o'clock and he
he'll
isn't
be
even here yet.
That's okay. I have faith in him. He'll be here. If he says he's going to be here, he'll be here.
Maybe he's afraid of the competition. And that's why he's not showing up.
Okay, we'll see. He'll be here.
Annie Bruce is here and, of course, from Cat Be Good fame, and of course, Animal Radio fame. She's a regular
She's
here.
She's been with us for years.
And we'll be visiting with Tenderfoot Training in about 5 minutes or so.
Yes, and they've been on the show before, too. We're happy to have them back.
I understand Jack Hanna will be with us today.
The Jack Hanna. Yes, yes.
As well as perhaps Randy Grimm.
And Quentin the Miracle Dog.
This is a dog that was put in the gas chamber and lived.
Survived
the gas chamber and
yes,
is now going on to speak across the country about not the dog itself.
No,
course.
No.
Speak
through
about
Randy.
The gas chamber.
Yes, trying to end that.
Also, jewelry for your pets sound crazy? Well, no, we will have that today. We're going to start off first with Marty Pease. Is that the way you pronounce your name there, Marty?
Yes, it is.
Okay, you're going to have to get right on that microphone there, and I'm going to turn it up just a little bit. It's live radio, ladies and gentlemen. And, Marty, what do you do here? I see your initials on your card say MSPTCCRP Partner. What does that all mean?
What is that all about?
Yes.
I have a master's degree in science in physical therapy.
Okay. For humans or for dogs?
I've been a human physical therapist for over 20 years.
Okay.
And certified in canine rehabilitation by the University of Tennessee. Was the first class to graduate from that program a couple of years ago. And I've been working with dogs for about 5 years.
It's fun, huh?
It is fun.
So you're here full time?
Yes.
Okay. And how many dogs would you say come in here a day?
That varies on the day. The weekends are a lot busier because they go and play in that big pool for their swim date with their owners. During the weekdays, we probably average anywhere from 10 to 15 dogs a day.
Really?
Both having fun in the pool and doing rehab.
And what are the dogs that come here, what are they primarily suffering from or maybe not suffering from?
Some of the dogs that use the big pool are just coming to have fun.
Yes.
And they don't have anything wrong with
really?
Them.
Really? So you can bring the dog here without having any kind of problems or
That's
anything?
That's correct. You can just come down and have a good time.
But it prevents problems.
There you go.
Does it?
Yeah. It's preventative medicine to
yeah.
keep those joints limber.
So the dogs that we're seeing and actually treating are ones that have been post-operative, either knee surgery, shoulder surgery, elbow surgery, the generally arthritic dog
mm-hmm.
that needs to get some exercise but hurts to walk. We can put them in the pool.
And they're here every weekend or every week, once a week, you would say?
Yeah. Those dogs come once or twice a week.
And the owners notice a difference. The guardians notice a difference in the behavior.
Usually very immediately.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily strengthening. I think the dogs feel good because they've been able to exercise without hurting, and it just makes them so much happier.
They look like they're having so much fun, and none of them seem to appear like they're hurting at all.
Right.
And the guardians sit there at the end of the pool, and they throw something in the pool, and the dogs will go running into the pool.
Then we also have our little pool, an endless pool that has a constant current.
I saw that. It looks like a little jacuzzi.
Exactly. It's a little warmer temperature, and we use that more for the rehab side of things. We want a more continuous activity and a more controlled activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use that for the dogs that we're rehabbing.
Okay. And when you say endless pool, there's a current, so it just feels like they keep going and going.
Correct.
And going?
It feels like they're swimming upstream all the time.
Without moving.
I haven't taken the tour yet, but I noticed you have rooms back there. Are those therapy rooms? What are those?
Two of the rooms are used by the acupuncturist.
Acupuncturist.
We have an acupuncturist on staff named Dr. Rhea Dodd. And then we also have massage therapists that use those rooms.
Really?
One of the room is the rehab room where we do the evaluation, ultrasound, electric stimulation type.
Ultrasound?
Ultrasound. Not diagnostic, therapeutic.
This is high-end stuff we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fourth room is the staff office.
Okay. What does insurance, how do people pay for this?
It's a cash business.
It is a cash business.
Mm-hmm.
So no insurance covers it.
Well, some of the pet insurances will cover it,
okay.
But the owner is responsible themselves to apply for it, and not all of them will.
Now, are they referred by a veterinarian?
Yes. If we're doing medical treatment, if it's a post-operative treatment or they have a back injury or something, they have to be referred by a vet.
Mm-hmm. Are some dogs predisposed to certain ailments, hip dysplasia and such?
Yes.
What kind of dogs are those? Do you know?
Well, yeah. Like Labradors tend to be prone to hip dysplasia.
Really?
CCL tears, which is a cranial cruciate tear similar to our ACL. They also tend to be prone to elbow dysplasia, an example. The longer back dogs tend to be prone, like Dachshunds or Corgis, tend to be prone to disc injuries.
Hmm.
So.
I'm going to talk to you in just a few more minutes.
Sure.
Again. Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald
is
entering
walking
the building.
In the door.
We're very excited about
that. He has arrived.
And we're going to talk to Tenderfoot Training here. Before you go, Marty, I want to, people that are located here in Denver that would like to come here and visit, how can they find out more?
Our phone number is 303-762-7946. Our website is www.dog-swim.com, and on the website is a map and driving directions.
Beautiful. So it's www.dog-swim.com, a phenomenal facility, and we'll talk more with Marty a little later on. We're going to do the little rotating chairs now, and I want to bring over our friends from Tenderfoot Training.
Musical chairs.
Yes. By the way, we are live today. It is Animal Radio. I'm Hal. That's Julie over there.
I'm Judy. I can say my own name.
Well,
thank
you.
Just
in case you forgot or something.
No,
like
I'm
that.
Right here.
This is our pet-friendly tour of America, by the way. We're looking for all the pet-friendly places we can find in America, and we're going to list them off for you and tell you about them. Okay, names?
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
And Doug.
Elizabeth and Doug.
Hi.
I'm horrible with names, by the way.
We'll forgive you.
So
we'll just remember Tenderfoot. I can always remember that.
We've had you guys on the show before.
And it was wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting us again today.
By all means. You've created a video, actually a double video, I believe, as I remember, on dog training?
On natural dog training.
Natural. Now, what's the difference between natural dog training and any other dog training?
We don't use any gimmicks whatsoever. So no clickers or gentle leaders or halter collars or treating
choke chains.
No choke chains, absolutely not. It's very natural because it's about teaching the person how to communicate in a way that the dog already understands. The dogs know how to sit, how to lay down, how to run toward you. They know the physical action. It's a matter of teaching the people how to communicate effectively.
So you're really training the person.
Absolutely.
You know, I've said a lot of people want to send their dog to a dog training class, but then the human is not trained and doesn't know how to work with the dog. That's just so wrong.
And then they get back and they need to work with the dog.
Really.
Yeah.
People want to give us their dogs all the time. So they just take my dog for a week or two, make him perfect.
Yes, fix him.
Yeah, and then hand it back to me.
Right.
And that just doesn't work because it's all about relationship. The dog will have a great relationship with us and change immediately. But if the people aren't different, their dog can't be different.
Can't.
So your classes, I assume, include the guardian.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They must be there.
Yeah, that's. There's no point in doing it otherwise.
And what would someone learn in your class?
Oh my gosh, I'll hand that to Doug.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you said Doug because I thought he was Elizabeth and you were Doug. I just get them all mixed up all the time.
So
how you doing?
Very good, thank you. The very first class we try to cover actually almost every action that dog can perform physically. The sits downs come, stand up. Even pause, everything.
Now, you say they can already perform it, huh?
Right. So we show you how to create these actions without ever touching your dog. Give it a word. Simply enough, that's an association. The reason they perform, relationship. We also cover many respect drills because the reason your dog should perform should be love, trust, and respect, which is relationship. So we cover many drills like no, don't pull on the leash ever. Don't cross my toe line when I walk. So there's no pulling that's going to be involved. Because people actually teach or create most of the dog's problems.
Okay, and there's no treats involved in this?
There can be once in a while. I personally don't use them. But you can treat your dog if you're inconsistent. But if you rely on a device or treats, many times that dog ends up relying on that device or treats.
All the
also.
Time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
Actually, you want to give the owners treats. When they do this,
we reward the owners.
There
you go. But we want the dog to work for you out of love, trust, and respect, not force or bribery. Because I don't want you to be my friend because I'm handing you $5 all the time.
I would be your friend.
You'd be my friend, but only until I ran out of money.
Yeah, yeah. Then I move on.
Or if the person next to me had $20, you'd be their friend.
Yes, yes.
So again, relationship is something you always have with you. And that's why you got a dog in the first place, was to have a connection with it, this four-legged wonderful being. So we maximize that. We make the best of that. And that's what the DVD teaches you.
Okay. The DVD for people that can't come to you, obviously, what will you find on the DVD?
Well, what's wonderful is it's all chaptered out. This is almost 3 hours of information, so it is jam-packed with everything that you want to know and understand about how dogs think and work. And so you will learn the relationship drills that we do first before we ever do a come, sit, stay, or a down. First, you place that relationship in correct balance. And then from there, we go through as many of the actions that a dog can perform so that you have a huge vocabulary to use with your dog. It should be at least 40 words.
And what are some of those words?
Oh, my goodness. There's the average, you know, the basic commands, come, sit, stay, down, heel. We have drop and take it. We teach dogs how to play, but also how to be gentle and easy. We try to talk about teaching opposites. If I want my dog to take something, well, they also have to drop it. Well, that's also a relationship drill. Stay off of me. Don't jump up on me. That's disrespectful.
No, I noticed Doug is using hand signals here.
Yeah. I'm trying to get her to
training
jump
her.
No, and hand signals are very important because dogs key into a visual before they ever hear the word that comes out of your mouth.
So you teach them, you teach their guardian to use hand signals.
We teach both. We say use your hand signals because there's times when hand signals are appropriate and words aren't. Maybe you're in a large crowd of people and you can signal to your dog physically, but you can't shout to your dog or try to, you know, say a command. And then there's times when verbal commands are more appropriate because your dog's at a distance and he can't really see the hand signals.
Okay. If we want to get a hold of the video, how do we do that?
You can go to tenderfoottraining.com and order it there, or you can call us at 303-444-7780.
And we'll put that information on the animalradio.com website. So if you're driving along right now and you want to pick that DVD up, it sounds like a great DVD. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet.
It's awesome. Well, we'll leave one here for you to take home.
Can we give any away?
You most certainly can.
Okay, our 1-800 numbers are not active this weekend because we're on the road. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to email us at yourvoice@animalradio.com. Yourvoice@animalradio.com. How many are we giving away? Two copies. Two copies. Is it a DVD or video?
You can do either one.
Either one, okay.
The DVD is better because it's a chapter, so you can, you know, back the things more easily.
So you tell us whether you have a DVD player or VHS, and we'll make sure.
Yourvoice@animalradio.com, and of course all this information at animalradio.com. Doug and Elizabeth, thanks so much for
thank
I
you.
I got a little lift
thank
right
you.
Now. Thanks for coming out. Did you come from Boulder?
Yes, we did.
A long, about 40-minute drive. Thanks for coming out and visiting with us today.
Thanks so
we
much.
We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes here, we're going to be visiting with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, who has finally shown up here. We're live on the road, the pet-friendly tour across America on Animal Radio, you lucky devil, you.
Cut one, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's a script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled, and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I worked nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without him. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
This is Animal Heart Radio
Network.
And we're coming to you live today from Denver, Colorado, the K9 and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. It's kind of hard to say, but I practiced all week on our drive out here.
Why don't you use the abbreviation?
Which
DRCG.
We'll
That's
be talking
easier.
To Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald in just a couple of minutes. We have a fun story here because it's, you know, we get so attached to our animals.
Regardless of what type of animal they are, we form a bond.
I am very attached to Rufus, my fish. people would laugh at me, but I realized I'm not the only one, and we have a special report that comes to us from Dave Allen in South Lake Tahoe about a very special pet for him.
Like a lot of us who have lost a close loved one, I was going to keep my sadness inside, not mentioning my loss to anyone, especially to my wife and adopted daughter. I know now, for the very first time in my life, just how it feels and how hard it is to convey this sadness to someone who has not yet, fortunately, experienced the loss of someone close to them. Besides, I wasn't going to tell anyone because I fell deeply in love with my lost loved one. Obviously, at my age of being in the latter 50s, I was not going through a midlife crisis, being well past that age and married. But when my adopted daughter, Corvette, gave me a young 1-year-old Savannah monitor lizard, it was love at first sight. He was beautiful to look at, being mostly tan in color with a light brown spot design and with a tan yellow background to his lizard skin. His skin was soft and smooth to the touch. My daughter named him Hissy because Savannah monitors hiss loudly when they are disturbed. I simply called him my buddy. My buddy died recently of unknown causes at the young age of only 2.5 years. Mr. Lizard, as I also sometimes called him, still had a lot of growing up to do. When he departed this world for lizard heaven, he weighed in at 9 pounds and was 31 inches long. My buddy, if he'd been given the chance, would have lived a lot longer and grown quite a bit more in size. In fact, monitors can live to 20 years of age, grow to a length of 4 or 5 feet, and weigh in at 20 pounds. My wife and I had grown rather close to my buddy in the past year and a half that he was with us. He spent a lot of his time on weekends lying in bed with me, napping and watching TV. He often could be found on the big couch in the living room, next to or under my wife, covered up all snuggled and warm. He also loved to bask in the sun in the dining room, and could be seen at times wandering around outside in the front and backyard clover, or sunning himself on our back deck. Mr. Lizard always looked forward to his daily warm bath. He could float and lounge in a warm tub for hours. I imagine during quite a few of those warm baths, he was even sleeping. I wonder what he dreamed about. Speaking of sleeping lizards, when he slept, which was a lot, he slept on a heating pad and wrapped himself up in his blankie. That's right, like most juveniles, my buddy had his very own blankie. He never traveled anywhere without it. A traveling lizard, you say? Yep. Mr. Lizard made the rounds to various locations in the South Shore area of Lake Tahoe, California, and Carson City, Nevada. While traveling, he stayed wrapped in his blankie, nice and warm, inside a small dog carrier. When he arrived at his destination, he would waddle out of the carrier, a leash was put on him, and he was good to go. Everywhere my buddy visited, all loved him, especially children. He never bit anyone and hardly gave anyone even a loud hiss. Feeding Mr. Lizard was a joy. First of all, Savannah monitor lizards are meat eaters, no greens for this lizard. My buddy was fed every 2 to 3 days. When he was still a little guy, he was fed crickets and small live mice. It was fun watching him going after the crickets. He would be lunging at them all the while. Crickets would be jumping all around him and on him. As he got older and bigger, he was given his own food bowl and, just like a dog, would come to eat whenever I whistled. That's right. Upon hearing my whistle, he would waddle over to his bowl to find chicken, hamburger, steak, pork, and hot dogs. In fact, that lizard could swallow a whole hot dog in one gulp. He was also still eating live mice that were fed to him by hand. From time to time, my buddy was also known to scrounge in the cat food bowls for an extra meal. Unfortunately, after a while, my buddy just wasn't himself. He began to sleep more, and then he just would not eat. Now, this was strange for Mr. Lizard, who was always looking for a meal. After he stopped eating, I immediately took him over to a lizard vet in Carson City, Nevada, to have him checked out. The vet said he was sick, but she didn't know from what. And then a short time later, and no matter what the vet tried, my buddy decided to give up his body and travel to a higher level. Now, if you had asked me if I believed in that reincarnation stuff, I would probably have said maybe, who knows. But when it comes to Hissy, or my buddy, or Mr. Lizard, I know my buddy will be back with us soon, probably as a cat. He always liked our three cats.
What a great story.
I love that story.
Yeah, it goes to show that it doesn't matter what the animal is, we can get a great attachment to our animals.
Yes.
Doc, how you doing?
It's Kevin.
Come on over here real fast. He's visiting with a huge dog that's just come in. And in just a couple of minutes, we'll visit with him. What are we going to be talking about, Doc?
Springtime in the Rockies. Springtime in Colorado.
Springtime in the Rockies.
America, we got all kinds of different seasonal problems to talk about.
Oh, wonderful. I can't wait.
It's great to see you.
It's very good. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald live on Animal Radio on our pet-friendly tour of America. You lucky devil.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Yeah, I like it when the big guy says it there. Sounds so much more authoritative than little old geeky voice. Hal and Judy live from Denver, Colorado. Actually, Englewood, Colorado, in the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. Can I just call it rehab? Something like that.
It's CRCG.
And Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Animal Planet's Emergency Vet just told us that he's filmed another season that'll be happening here very soon. 2-hour special.
Oh, there's your mic.
I don't have mic either.
What do you mean you don't have Mike either? I know why you don't have Mike.
I don't have
you
Mike.
You just have to tolerate it.
He's cutting me off. He's always turning me off.
Yeah,
he wants to make it the Hal show and just kind of phase me out. So he turns off my mic when I don't know it, and I sit here and talk and talk.
Well, actually, your mic's on.
Oh, it was
it's
on.
It's your headphones that are off.
So I can't hear myself.
Yeah, that was a problem in this.
Okay, well, I'm back.
It's the case with live radio. Now let's figure out the important
one. We do that
one.
On purpose.
The important one is the switch on the side of your microphone there.
Which, this one up there.
And there it is, live radio. Talk to me. Let's hear that voice. Oh, there we go.
It's on.
Okay, it's on.
It's on. It's good.
How you doing, Doc?
It's great to see you.
So you got a fall special? Going to happen 2-hour special on Animal Planet?
We're excited. We just did a 2-hour special about new technology. You know, and so we have a rehabilitation place, too, at our place. And also, we've been working with a guy that does prosthetics for animals. It's amazing.
Wow.
Prosthetics?
Yeah.
You mean like legs and stuff?
Yep. Animals that are born without limbs or animals that have amputations. And he does titanium collapsible things that are incredible.
Now, you say technology, and technology has come so far in the last, well, just a few years. Are you noticing that people are spending the money to keep up with the technology with their animals?
You know, it's funny you should say that, Hal. In 1957, the American Veterinary Medical Association did a telephone survey where they asked Americans, is your dog part of the family? And in 1957, 43% of Americans said, yeah, the dog's part of the family. They did the same survey with the same words in 1997, and 96% of Americans said the dog was part of the family.
Wow.
There's been a change, you know, in my lifetime, not yours, you're a young guy, but there's been a change.
I'm probably older than Fitzgerald.
There's been a change in how people perceive their animals.
I'm surprised in 57 it was that high of a percentage.
Yeah. So I think that people are willing to do much more. I mean, if you look at a place like this, you know, Roscoe just came in to take a swim, a 9-year-old arthritic golden retriever, and Papa's willing to take him on a Saturday morning to
big
the pool.
Dog.
Yeah, you know, and so... you know, I think that people are very committed to their animals, and it's nice to see.
And so what kind of surgeries are you noticing people are paying for? What kind of expensive surgeries?
We're seeing much more orthopedics done, you know, with knees and with cruciates, of course, with congenital problems with elbows and hips that they're born with, that they're repairing. Cancer surgeries, of course, you know, we're able to do so much more. We're able to diagnose more, you know. We have a CT and an MR at our place.
That's a CAT scan and
MRI. And magnetic resonance, yeah. And so, you know, people are willing. We had a woman the other day that came in with a guinea pig, and she wanted to know, you know. She wanted to know what was wrong.
Did you find out? Were you able to
Well, we did. So I think to see, you know, people are, as we become more urban or we get less in touch with nature, maybe, you know, the animals in our homes, we reach out to them a little bit more, or they mean that much more to us.
Now, here's the question. When did you go to medical school, and did they teach you about guinea pigs and lizards and all of the animals that we find in the homes these days?
Well, they did. They didn't do as much. You know, we just had a few lectures, but... You know, you teach yourself and you learn, and you know, you never stop learning. Hopefully, mm-hmm. I'm old, but you know.
Do you go back to school at all, or?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I try and take classes and take, you know, continuing education. Keep going to. I just 2 years ago got certified in the American Board of Veterinary Practitioners. Went back and took tests and studied again. You got to rejuvenate yourself. I'm old. I remember Preparation A.
Well, you preparation it. And that kind of humor is because you've done a little comedy. Let's give people a quick recap about you. You used to be a roadie for the Stones. The Rolling Stones, right?
Yes.
And it was, who was it? Mick Jagger? No, it was Keith.
Keith
that
Richards.
Told you, get out of music.
Get a career.
You tell a story. What
well,
was it?
I was a little boy here in Denver, and I started off a lot younger. And so I started off bouncing for bands. The promoter here, Barry Fay, and Bill Graham, you know, I worked for them. And then I went on the road with the Stones and with whoever they were putting out, the Who. Or I worked for the Parliament Funkadelic and Willie Nelson.
Wow.
And so whoever was out on the road. And I did the Rolling Stones in 1969, 72, 75, 78,
well, how does someone
81.
Make the change? I mean, it seems like a completely different world.
Well, that's not. You know, your life isn't a... straight line always. Our lives are tapestries. I mean, look at you, you know, and so we have a checkered past, and so I think at the end of the 78 tour, Keith Paisley himself at the end of the tour, and he said, you've been with us 69, 72, 75, 78. He said, this isn't going to last forever. He said, you can't bounce when you're 50. I don't think they ever dreamed they'd still be playing. You know, he said, the public is fickle. I'll never forget him saying, he said, the public's very fickle. We'll be the flavor of the month. And he said, so why don't you do something? Why don't you go to school? You know, he said, I'll help you.
Did he help you financially?
No, well, he helped me financially, and he also helped made some telephone calls. And
really?
So I flew back to Denver. My brother was working for U2, and he picked me up at the airport, and I said, Keith told me I got to get a grip on my life.
When Keith tells you that.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's the coolest cat in the world. And when he says something, you listen, baby.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so you change directions, and happier than ever, I imagine now. We're going to talk in a few minutes about springtime in Colorado, which there's a lot of bugs and a lot of stuff.
Allergies.
Yes.
Allergies, things, yeah.
What kind of things do you look out for? Yeah, we'll go ahead and do it now.
Okay, we'll do it right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it now.
Well, it's definitely springtime here.
Okay.
It's officially springtime. Here pretty quick, and so also tonight we turn the clock ahead, so it's spring ahead.
Oh, fall,
so
that's
tonight,
official.
So yeah. It's officially spring, but it's officially spring to me because yesterday at the practice we had the first rattlesnake bite, the
Ooh.
First dog bitten by a rattlesnake. So the snakes are out.
Oh,
so
wow.
They think it's a spring, and so people should know that are listening to your show that there's 120 snakes in the United States, 120 snake species, but only 21 are poisonous, and the main problems are rattlesnakes and their allies, the cottonmouths and the water moccasins, you know, and the copperheads. And so those are the ones that we see that are the problem. Coral snakes are very secretive snakes. And actually, all of them, they aren't very aggressive snakes. They are if they're teased, you know.
And the dogs will do that.
The dogs put their face down like, hey, what are you with that rattle?
Curious, yeah.
So we just finished a study for a new antivenin at our practice, and we were one of the study sites, and we had, in the last 3 years, 106 bites on dogs, and 95% of them were on the face. But cats get nailed on the foot because they're teasing them. Hey, what are you? They're putting their foot out, you know.
They want to touch
them. So they get nailed on the foot. But we've got a new antivenin that works very well, and I think people should just realize, they should know about what poisonous animals I think are in their area. Another problem is mushrooms. You know, as people hike, you know, dogs are grazers, naturally. You know, will eat grass. And people ask me all the time, how come dogs eat grass? And they eat grass because of moisture content. Some grasses has a lot of water in it. And some grass is sweet.
Cats dogs do it too, don't they?
They have a sweet tooth. They definitely do.
Huh.
And so we'll see them eat that in mushrooms. So people should find out about the poisonous things in their area. You know, they can go to their botanic gardens or the universities.
Anything on the web, you think?
I think there's tons of great websites. There's one for different regional poison centers in your area. Also, there's one for the National Poison Hotline in Champaign-Urbana to find out. They have great information about different things that are seasonal, you know, the poisonous things.
Now, going back real quick to the dog bites, or the snakes that bite the dogs, how long do they have before they, you know, they have to get their dog to a vet?
It depends on the location of the bite, it depends on the size of the snake, and it depends on the size of the dog.
Okay.
You know, a 6-pound Maltese that gets bitten is in a lot more trouble than Roscoe, this 110-pound golden,
okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think dogs that are bitten on the globe of the eye or on the mouth, on the tongue, those are bad bites.
And what is your treatment for that?
We give antivenin. We give it as quickly as we can, close to the bite. But there's not the golden period we once thought. We can give it even a couple days out if they're continuing to do bad. Yeah.
Wow.
And there's some efficacy to it, and it works. So the new one, the old one, was from horses. It was made from injecting horses with the different venoms, and then the horse would make antibodies. The problem with that is a lot of people and dogs are allergic to horse products. If people put a horsehair blanket on, you know, they get... That, you know, they get
hives,
yeah. And so dogs will too. But this one is made from sheep, and fewer people are allergic to sheep things, and dogs too. So we don't see the problems we did with the old horse vaccine.
Very interesting.
However, though, if your dog does get bit, don't wait 2 days to bring him to the vet.
No, it's a medical emergency, and there's a lot of bad information out there about the old cowboy movies and making an X. And where they're bitten, you know, there's a lot of important real estate, so we don't want to make an accident, you know.
And suck it out.
And suck it out. We don't want to give... There's the electrical... a paper came out in the Lancet, in the New England Journal of Medicine, in 1987 about giving a cattle prod to a snake bite that electricity would denature and neutralize the venom. But it's not true. And so, you know, but they still sell those things in the back of outdoor magazines and stuff. And we had a bite at the Rocky Mountain Poison Center where a guy was hunting and he was bitten behind it, on the bottom, behind a tumbleweed, you know, doing his business by a rattlesnake. And his brothers hooked him up to the car battery, you know, with jumper cables. And, you know, okay, Vern, hit it.
And you can view that footage on real TV, I believe.
I know. I mean, you know, you feel sorry for the guy, but, I mean, other animals thin the herd, you know.
In certain areas, I know there is places in California where they have rattlesnake training classes.
They teach
a dog to be aware, yep, both by scent, by sound, and by sight.
To train them to stay away.
Yes.
Also, now there is a vaccine for that. You can vaccinate for bites that just came out, which just okay. They've been used in California for a while. We don't know a lot about the efficacy of that one yet, but they've been talking about that for a long time.
Is it some type of an annual?
You probably would do it annually, but they've been trying for a long time with snake handlers who inject themselves with snake venom to try and build up an immunity, but it hasn't worked very well in people.
Wow.
What about fleas and ticks? Big time for fleas and ticks now. There's some great products on the market. I know that one of our sponsors is Frontline. Is that good? Is that a...
We're blessed in that we have much more effective and much safer methods for flea and tick control than, you know, now than ever before. It tries to target the parasite and not be poisonous to the mammal. So, yeah, we're lucky.
Do you get a lot of cats that are brought in that have used dog, flea, and tick products? And
yeah, sadly, the feline the feline liver, the feline whole being is very different. For a long time, dogs were treated like little people and cats were treated like little dogs, and they're very different. And so we can't give dog flea products to cats, and we'll see the shake and bake syndrome where they get a high temperature and seizures, and really a lot of those guys will suffocate, they have respiratory paralysis and die. So we have to be careful with that. Another thing we see this time of year is bees. I had a puppy fall into a window well with a beehive on Tuesday, and had 400 stings.
Oh.
The woman was very quick thinking and used a fire extinguisher with the foam to spray the little guy, because he was getting stung. Because she was getting stung when she reached down and she wrapped him up like a burrito in a blanket. And bees this time of year too, you know, are active. And they're bees are interesting because they're vegetarians. They're herbivorous, but wasps and hornets are carnivorous.
Oh, they like the meat. Hold on a second, Doctor.
Wow.
We're with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. We're live from Denver, Colorado at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. And, of course, you can get all the details we're talking about today at animalradio.com. We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio.
Network.
And we are live this weekend from Denver, Colorado, and the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group.
Very good. You got it right. CRCG.
Englewood, Colorado. If you want to visit their website, you can go to dog-swim-com. And today in the show, while we're about to finish our first hour, if you're leaving us after our first hour, you can get all the audio at animalradio.com. Coming up, we have Annie Bruce, our best friend Annie Bruce. Little cat talk. Also, Jack Hanna will be joining us to talk about aquariums and the fish and the oceans, what's going on in the oceans. We have Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald with us, who's just talking about bees and the situation with them being carnivores.
Yeah, well, so bees have a barbed hooked stinger, and when they sting you, they lose the stinger, and so they lose part of their abdomen and the venom gland, and then they die. Wasps and hornets have a smooth, straight stinger and can sting you multiple times, and they don't die. So that's another difference there. So people, if their animal is bitten, they shouldn't waste time looking for the stinger, because in 60 seconds, 100% of the venom gets released from the stinger, and so don't waste time looking for it. A great thing to do if they're really uncomfortable is to bathe them, and just a nice warm bath feels good.
So you don't have to go to the vet?
A lot of times you should if it's a bad bite. But if you can't, I think you can make them more comfortable with... be careful with ice. A lot of times we see the overzealous use of ice and people that have now an animal that's bee stung, now it's frostbitten because they've used too much ice, you know.
Oh,
so,
no.
So they traumatize it with that. But I think, you know, using a little common sense. If a percentage, you know, depending on who you read, 1% to 3% of people are allergic to bee stings, and same for dogs. So we do see allergic reactions to bee stings. So we have to be careful. And, you know, a call to your veterinarian and you know, having a number prominently in the house so you can get to your vet quickly is a great thing. And if they're stung, many of them need to be seen.
Especially, is it elderly dogs?
It can be tough on babies, or on old dogs. Yeah, uh-huh. It can be tough. Nobody likes to be stung.
Okay.
No, I know I don't.
And you know what color? What color do bees hate? You're more likely to be stung wearing what color?
Red?
Yellow.
Red? Yellow? Yeah. Okay. Dark colors.
Really?
You're more likely to be stung dark blues and blacks. A study done they took our North American honeybee, and our North American honeybees, 100 bees, if you wave a black flag, within 1 minute, 3 to 5 of the bees will sting the flag. Now, the Africanized bees, okay, the ones that, you know, the so-called killer bees, 85 of the bees within a minute will sting the flag. Our North American honeybee is not an aggressive bee. If you take a pen or a straw and you tease them, it takes them 2 to 3 minutes to
get
into.
Have you done this?
It takes them 2 to 3 minutes to get into a stinging posture.
Now, kids, don't do this at home.
Okay, but with the Africanized bee, okay, if you it takes them 30 seconds. Okay,
oh, wow.
To get into a stinging posture. So, and our honeybees will chase you for 27 meters. Studies done to show that these bees will.
Then
chase.
They just give up. They
and
say,
they go, you know, you're not worth it. You're not, that's too far. But the Africanized bee goes 170 meters. And I talked to the researcher that did that with the Africanized. I said, why 170? He goes, that's as far as my graduate students could run. He goes, then they got tired and they had a blanket and they threw the blanket over their head. And then we brought a car out to save them. So the Africanized bees aren't more poisonous. They aren't more venomous, actually, is the correct word. But they're not more venomous. They're just... They get mad faster. They stay mad longer. They're like your mother. They don't forget. My mother, we just found out, has Irish Alzheimer's. She's forgotten everyone except who she hates.
So, I forgot to bring the rim shot, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, next time we
next
travel.
Got to have a drone. Yeah. You know?
Well, you would think that they would like the lighter red colors and the yellows because those are the flowers.
Yeah, they would be pollinating. But I think that... They think that the darker colors maybe represent their predators and things that they need to sting, you know. So we have to be careful with bees. I don't think dogs learn about being stung. I had an English bulldog, and in the clover, she would just go out and get stung multiple times, you know, like, hey, what are you?
Never.
Hey, what are you? Hey, what are you? I mean, damn, you go, wait a minute, don't you? Are you some type of, you know, a whole... She never learned. She never learned. She'd be stung multiple times in a summer.
Okay, so we have the bees, we have the snakes, we have the fleas, we have the ticks.
Got mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Got mushrooms. And so also this time of year, I think people have to be realistic about how far they exercise with them and on what type of substrate.
Really? You could do too much exercise?
If you're running, you have nice summertime apparel lawn, you have jogging shorts and a shirt that breathes. You have Air Nikes, and then these guys, maybe they've been couch potatoes all winter. Their feet are soft and haven't hardened up yet. And all of a sudden you decide you're going to ride the bicycle for 14 miles, and the dog runs behind you on heated asphalt on a May morning in Illinois. And so it's hot. And so we have to be, I think, cognizant of what we're running on, what surface. We have to be aware of what the substrate is for their feet.
Temperatures get very hot. Put the dogs in the car. Sometimes you roll down the windows. You want to run into the dry cleaners. Do you find this time of year that there's a lot of heat exhaustion?
If it's hot enough to melt a cassette tape that's on your dashboard, think what it does to a living creature. And it doesn't take very long. So people could, you know, I mean, there's so many sad things we see that just an ounce of prevention, you know, just a little bit of foresight. You know, they go in and you know, they go to the supermarket, they're not realizing maybe how long the line is, or they shop longer, and the animal's on dark asphalt in a dark car with black upholstery, and all the windows rolled up, and that's a death chamber. It takes, you know, 10 to 12 minutes, I think, to get temperatures that are not compatible with life. You know, 12 minutes on these warm, you know, days.
You know, people think they're going to run in for just a second, and they run into somebody they know and start talking, lose track of time. And
no, that's right. So, yeah. We just have to be sharp.
Be sharp. Think ahead there. Okay, we are with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. What magazine was it that made you the most eligible bachelor?
I know that.
What was it, People?
People
magazine.
Yes, it was.
I thought it was Popular Mechanics.
No. It was People. <You know. laughs>
And he will be joining us next hour also. We were very blessed to have him with us today. We are live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Denver, Colorado, Englewood, Colorado. The website is dog-swim.com. We thank them so much for letting us come in. If you're leaving us this hour, you can go to the website at animalradio.com and get all the audio of the next 2 hours. And remember, if you get an animal this week, please spay or neuter.
Yes.
One or the other. Whatever the doctor suggests.
Yes.
Yeah,
ask
you don't have
your
to
doctor.
Do both. And remember, you don't have to buy an animal. You can get your animal from a breed rescue. We got to go, but we'll be back next hour and next week. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Heart Radio
Network.
Well, welcome. We are back for hour two, live from Denver, Colorado, on the Pet Friendly Tour of America. We're finding all the pet friendliest places in America. Today we're at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. And with us is Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. Hi, Doc. How are you going?
It's nice to see you again. Thanks for all you do for animals.
No, thank you for all you do.
Thank you for coming out.
You always come out and visit with us. Also, coming up within the next 2 hours, Jack Hanna will be visiting with us. Perhaps Randy Grimm, Annie Bruce. All kinds of great stuff for great pets. And we'll also find out a little more about where we're at. It's a big swimming pool, and if you hear splashes in the background occasionally, it's actually dogs jumping into the swimming pool. They're here for a little bit of rehab. Perhaps they have a hip that's displaced or arthritis, and they come here. They all look like they're having fun. They don't want to get out of the pool. They're like kids.
Yeah, we're going to speak to some of their guardians that are here with them and see why they brought them here today.
In just a couple of minutes, but we're with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. So, we were last hour, and you probably missed it if you're just tuning in now, we were talking about some of the elements that animals are exposed to at this time of the year. We were talking about mushrooms, we were talking about snakes, ticks, fleas, what else did I miss?
The heat, spiders.
Spiders, all kinds of things.
You know, the things we see, we you know, this time of year, I think we have to be careful, particularly of older dogs that are down a lot, that are laying down a lot with ants and different problems. You know,
you don't think of that kind of thing.
You know, parts of the United States have fire ants.
So they're bad. Fire ants are bad.
Oh,
they bite.
Man. Fire ants bite and sting. They bite and anchor their face, and then they sting in a circle around it. And
ooh.
It's interesting. Many people realize that dogs and people may be allergic to bee stings, but I think people don't realize that people can be allergic to fire ant stings too, and so can dogs. And these guys, it's a nasty bite sting. It hurts. It does. And so we have to be aware of older dogs and check them frequently, particularly if they've been outside.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. So what else are we looking for this time of year?
Well, just. I'm sorry, I've got a little cold.
That's okay.
I think, you know, this time of year, we have to be aware of exposure. You know, in the summertime, animals are outside. They can be struck by cars, dog fights, all the things that happen that don't happen in snowy Denver in the wintertime when you're inside, you know, in December. So this time of year, with exposure, animals off leashes and animals that haven't had any training or...
Well, they shouldn't be off the leash,
that's
should
right.
they?
That's, well, I think we got to be good neighbors. Not, you know, I mean, animals... You say, well, he's off the leash and he's good, but all of a sudden he sees a cat across the street and darts across and gets struck by a car. So it's, you know, we see people have great intentions, but not always the best follow through.
What would you say is the most common thing you see this time of year at your clinic, which, by the way, is Alameda East?
Right.
And you know Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Emergency Vet, by the way. Another 2-hour special coming up this fall. Look for it on Animal Planet.
Yeah, so we see this time of year a lot more dog fights.
you know, dog fights.
Yeah, that you don't see. People go to the volleyball game. Everybody brings their dog. Sadly, maybe some of these males, are unneutered and little testosterone machines. And so, you know, we see the little macho posturing around the
volleyball.
There's no
reason that they should be unneutered, by the way.
Well, that's right. You know, and I think, you know, the sad thing in this country is the number of unwanted dogs and cats. You know, I mean, the numbers are huge, and they're obscene. People talk about what's obscene in this country. I think it's the number of animals that are put to sleep because nobody wants them.
Yes, millions.
Yeah, it's going down, but it's still about
down.
5 million a year.
That's huge, you know, and we talk about, you know, different problems we have. And so I think one of the biggest problems that veterinarians face is trying to educate the public about, you know, sensible spaying and neutering and all the great health reasons for doing it. So, you know, please.
You mean there's health reasons besides getting pregnant?
Yeah, there's great things. There's sparing effects on mammary tumors, you know, on
really?
By spaying females early and, you know, before their first heat. And we see males with prostate problems later on that we can, you know, abbreviate by
so it reduces
that.
The chances of cancerous growths, yeah.
So we see problems with that, not just, and then behavioral problems. These little males are knuckleheads. Every time somebody's in heat, they want to go over the fence, you know, and so we see problems. Unneutered male cats, you can't live with them. That your house is like a chemical billboard for them, you know, with urine spraying.
I can understand. I've been neutered.
Now, what about, yeah, we did that a long time ago. I couldn't handle it in the studio. But what about this spaying and neutering them at 12 weeks of age, as opposed to, it used to be rule of thumb was like 4 for males and 6 months for females.
I've been out of veterinary school for 22 years, and so in the old days, they used to think that if you spayed too early, you would stunt their growth, and we found, in fact, that they get bigger. They're larger, and that a lot of the things that we thought that were cons, you know, pros and cons about doing things, a lot of the cons weren't true. And so certain areas in the United States, Angel Memorial, places have been doing early
yes.
spays
at
8 to 12 weeks.
Yes.
And they have good data for 25 years that it's there aren't
it's
the deleterious effects that we thought. So we can spay very early.
Very good. I'm going to ask you to take a look around, and we're going to visit with some other people, but I'd like to speak to you again this hour if we can.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Sure,
I'd like to visit with you over here. Is that okay? Spend a little time with you because you're a client here.
That's correct, I am.
What is your name?
Bev Engstrom.
Hi, Bev. And who's the beautiful chow?
This is Cassie.
Isn't
Cassie.
She pretty?
Yes, she's a lovely dog.
And is Cassie here because, I mean, obviously Cassie's doing a little swimming, a little therapy.
She's having acupuncture.
Acupuncture?
Uh-huh.
Do you notice the acupuncture actually works?
Oh, absolutely. She's been in it over about 2.5 years now.
And what is the acupuncture for? What kind of injury
arthritis.
Does
arthritis.
Arthritis.
Arthritis. She also had ACL surgery. And
what is that?
Just the she had torn the ACL in her knee.
Okay.
And
the
hind legs.
So she comes for the acupuncture. Does she do
comes
any
for the
swimming?
Acupuncture along with her brother and her sister. No, she doesn't like to swim any longer because after her ACL surgery, she had to go through physical therapy in a heated pool. And her favorite thing to do with water is just to walk into cool water, like a lake or a pond, up to her tummy, but that's it. That's as far as she wants to swim.
So what? She just watches. She sits on the sidelines and watches them in the pool.
No, she doesn't even want to go up there.
She won't go near it.
No, she avoids that part.
When she does the acupuncture, where do they stick pins, and how does she react to it?
She's fine. She's an extremely calm dog. You'll need to talk with Dr. Dodd about this too. Cassie, sir. A needle, goes in here with sort of the pain control.
She's pointing to the forehead.
Yeah, to the forehead. Uh-huh. And then the needles are placed where the animal has a problem. For example, with Cassie, in the spine area, especially the back legs, and a little bit in the elbow area of the front legs.
Now, is there any electric stimulation?
She does, yes. Dr. Dive uses electric stimulation with Cassie, but not with my other two dogs.
And Cassie will sit there?
Oh, yes. She just lies there and waits for her cookie.
Wow.
She knows after? Or
she gets it during.
Oh, she gets it during.
In fact, I'm going to give her one now.
Because she's being so good.
She is being absolutely wonderful.
She's a great dog.
And so how long have you been doing this again?
It's about 2.5 years
and
now.
And you've noticed
Cassie.
The difference?
Oh, yes, I do. I do notice. I have often thought that if we did not have Dr. Dodd to to do this for Cassie, that Cassie might well be in very poor shape.
How did you find Dr. Dodd?
I met her once at my regular vet's office. The one whom I had always seen before. Dr. Dodd is a veterinarian as well as an acupuncturist, but I had met her through the vet that I normally go to for, you know, shots.
Just your regular, checkups.
Vet. I had met her there, and...
Now, how many times a week or a month does she come in?
It depends on the dog. Cassie is going every 3 weeks, uh-huh. And my other two dogs go every 2 weeks.
And how long do the sessions last?
Oh, about 30 minutes or so. Plus a little social talk.
Uh-huh. Well, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Well, I'm glad you had a little chance to talk with us, and I'm glad that Cassie is doing so well. She just looks so content right there with her little cow purple tongue. I love those purple tongues.
It's so great that people are willing to do this, you know, to do those extra things for their animals.
I don't consider it extra. I consider it part of my commitment to my animals.
Absolutely.
It's just if I chosen to adopt an animal, then whatever that dog needs is...
It's a family
that's
member.
That's just part of the budget.
Very good. Thank you so much for visiting with us. We are live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. If you hear the splashes in the background, those are dogs jumping into the pool and getting a little bit of rehab, some good stuff. We have Annie Bruce in just a couple of minutes. She'll be joining us in Talking Cats.
Yeah, I had to tether Hal to the table here so that he wouldn't follow the dogs and jump in the pool. So he's tied up
right
now.
It looks very nice in there. It looks very warm, very fun, and very comfy. You say that Jan... is on the phone from South Lake Tahoe?
Yes, she is. And Jan has a little dog, and she wants to get a kitten or cat for her dog as a companion.
Do you mind if I talk to her real fast?
No, go ahead. She'd
love 1-866-405-8405 is our number. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing A-okay. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You're calling from South Lake Tahoe. What's the weather like today?
Sunshiny, blue skies. There's some clouds. A few go flitting through, but it's so nice to see the sun come out. Maybe it'll melt this darn snow.
You really still have snow on the ground?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, my.
And it's going down fast, so it's only about 2 inches, 3 inches tall now.
Give it a couple of weeks, it'll be all gone, huh?
Goody, goody gumdrops.
Judy tells me that you're thinking of getting a kitten.
Well, yes, I thought I would get a kitten for Miss Pie.
I think Miss Pie would really love to have a kitten.
I can get a box for her for the bathroom, and she could stay inside.
How old is Miss Pie?
Miss Pie's a year old now.
Oh, okay.
And she's mellowed out so grand. And she's such a sweetheart. And she is... I turned the idiot box on the TV in the bedroom this morning. I don't ever usually turn it on, and I turned it on last night and fell asleep, and it was on when I woke up. And she was just watching that TV.
She was watching TV. See, some people say that dogs can't see that, but they can.
I don't know. Maybe it's the noise it makes. I don't know, but she was sure fascinated laying on the bed there and watching the idiot box.
We had a video once that was, it was a DVD that was made specially for dogs so that they could watch it and listen to it. Do we have any of those?
We might have one. We'll look around and see if we have one for Miss Pie.
So you think that Miss Pie would like a little friend?
Oh, I know. She has to be getting a little lonesome at times, you know?
Sure.
You can either get like a young kitten. There may be even cats at the shelter.
Well, I could call Robert to see.
Yeah, well, you know, some cats may be a little older. They may be one or two, and they may have been around dogs. Some of the cats there are already exposed to dogs and dog-friendly. Or if you got a little kitten and exposed, you know, the kitten to Miss Pie early, they'd probably be best of buddies.
That's what I was thinking, and she'd love it.
But don't let the cat outside.
No.
No, if you do get a cat.
There's too many coyotes running around now. They've multiplied up here on this mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other people are... I lost a dog several years ago.
Oh.
To a coyote?
Out the front, yeah. I let it out the front because there was so much snow in the back, and... it never came home.
That's too bad.
Well, you know, you can actually teach a cat to walk on a leash if you want to take it out in the yard on a spring day and sit outside for an hour or two. You can have the cat walk around the yard on a leash.
What's a good way, Judy, to introduce a cat to a dog?
Well, I'd say, first of all, make sure the cat's nails are trimmed.
Just in case.
Just in case. Make sure that you have Miss Pie on a leash so that you can control her. Mm-hmm. She probably, knowing Miss Pie, she probably won't be aggressive, but she's going to run up to the cat and probably frighten it at first.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think she'll be excited.
What kind of dog is Miss
Pie? I hold it in my hand.
Oh, yeah. What kind of dog is Miss Pie?
Lopso Opso.
Oh, Lopso Opso. Okay.
Yeah, so I would keep Miss Pie.
She's mellowed out a lot.
She might get a little excited if she sees this little furry friend and might be anxious to make friends. So I think a cat would make a great companion. I'd say go for it, Jan.
Yeah, she's mellowed out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she's out of her puppy stage somewhat. And she's such a sweetheart now, where she was like a pain in the tush for a while.
Well, I could see them cuddling up with each other right now. I can envision that.
I had a yellow Buick convertible. Well, I had two of them, but my cat would go with me, and she'd lay around the back of my neck. And when I'd get out to stop at get a bite to eat or coffee shop or something, I always parked the car close. And with the top down, mind you. And she'd never get out of that car. And people would come and try to pet her, and she'd hump her back.
She was protecting her territory.
That's what I'll tell you. It was really something, that Pootie. That was her name.
Pootie.
Pootie. I
like that.
I love hearing from you. Please call as often as you can, okay?
You like my sunshine.
Yes. I love your sunshine.
You bring your sunshine to us and to everybody
my
else.
My mother loved me, honey.
I bet.
I was so lucky.
We're very lucky.
Yes.
You're sweethearts, though. You're real sweethearts.
Thank you for calling. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
You bet your booties. Have an enjoyable time.
Thank you, Jan.
You bet your booties.
Bye-bye.
Have a good time.
You too.
Goodbye, kids.
There might be
Bye-bye.
Something in that box. Some other toy.
Oh, what a sweet lady that is.
1-866-405-8405.
My microphone's falling.
Falling down. Uh-oh.
Is that our phone? Oh, no, that's
our
phone.
No, that's not ours.
Where are we, you say? What is all that noise in the background? Why do we sound so hyped? It's because we're at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Denver, Colorado. It's part of our pet-friendly tour of America. Did you hear that splash in the background?
I heard it. They're having so much fun over there. I can actually see them through the window.
We're going to put up the webcam in just a few minutes so you can see it yourself from your internet connection, your web browser. 1-866-405-8405 is the number. You can get all the information about everything you hear today at animalradio.com. This is such a fun place. Was that big splash from the big golden retriever? 110-pound golden retriever?
Really? 110 pounds? Wow.
Big, big dog. They also do acupuncture here, as you just heard a couple of minutes ago.
Yes, we did.
Cassie getting a little bit of acupuncture.
Cassie was just treated.
And I've heard of Dr. Dodd many times. This is not the first time that I've heard of her, but the first time that I've met her, Dr. Dodd, the acupuncturist. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Now, acupuncture seems, I know there's people that are very skeptical about it, whether it works, even on humans or on dogs. Obviously, you've devoted your life to it. You believe in it, yes?
Yes, and in fact, there's a lot of scientific evidence that supports it. It can support the immune system. It's great for pain relief. Primarily, what I do is pain relief. It relaxes the dogs. They enjoy it. Even cats enjoy it.
Well, now, I can't understand how a dog would be relaxed to have pins being pushed into it. And do most dogs just relax there?
They seem to enjoy it. The first treatment, they're a little iffy about what I'm doing, but the pins themselves are extremely small. They're small gauge. It's not painful. And the dogs seem to enjoy it. They get an endorphin release, which is the natural opioids. And they seem to look forward to it. They relax. They lay on a futon in my treatment area. We give them a little massage, give them treats. And even the kitties, like I said, they enjoy it too. They really look forward to it.
I can see a dog being more of a willing participant than a cat. I don't see a cat. I can't imagine one of my cats.
It's surprising.
Really?
But they do enjoy it, yeah.
And there's certain pressure points?
There are certain points that we treat, exactly. And I always tend to include the calming points so that they relax and can enjoy the whole treatment.
What kind of things are you treating?
For me, primarily, I specialize in pain management, so a lot of arthritis, disc problems, a lot of old age problems, hospice care if an animal has cancer. Those are the main things that I treat. I also treat seizures, liver disease, kidney failure in cats. It keeps them eating, keeps them happy. So it can be used for a number of different medical conditions.
Behavior problems?
Sometimes. I actually am also a behaviorist.
Oh, really?
And sometimes I will do combination therapy because it is so calming. It releases serotonin as well, which is what the antidepressants are used to treat.
See, all of these things she's talking about, I actually take medicines for. But
I know. I was wondering maybe we can get you on the side and see if she can give you a little acupuncture while you're here. Yeah. How soon do you see results?
Sometimes within the first treatment. A lot of times if it's an older animal, we'll give them 3 or 4 treatments before we see a big change. But then usually we can wean them down to about once a month for maintenance.
For maintenance. Wow, mm-hmm. Very good.
Is this one of your patients over here?
This is one of my patients. This is little Rose. She's a little border terrier.
And she has a very beautiful pink collar on right now.
And a very beautiful bark.
And what is wrong with Rose?
Rose has hip dysplasia, so she developed that as a young dog, only 2 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
She is an agility dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which means?
She does all the tricks and the tunnels and bridges and dog walks.
Wow.
And she competes. She's a national level competitor.
I was watching her. She was helping herself to our treat box, to our giveaways. She was looking in there trying to find something for herself.
Are you Rose's guardian?
Yes. Rose is 3 years old. She developed hip dysplasia and became totally lame at 5 months.
And that's not good for an agility dog at all.
No. And our problem with her is she's a high drive dog. She likes to do things. She's a master earth dog. That's where they go to ground and they chase the rats underground or foxes.
Wow.
She's also an obedience dog and a therapy dog on top of an agility dog.
Visiting the hospital.
She's a busy little girl.
She goes to work every day in our dental office and actually sits on patients' laps when they get injections and sits on children's laps.
Yeah,
dogs love jobs, don't they?
She does. And she's a very unique little dog in that her personality, she's very people-oriented. But Rose also was on the National Small Team NADAC Championships last year and won with 2 Jack Russells.
Wow.
So even though she has hip dysplasia, and thanks to Dr. Dodd, we keep her mostly sound and mostly comfortable.
How often does she come to Dr. Dodd?
Up till about the last 3 months, almost every 2 weeks. Here lately, we're getting to about once every 4 weeks, and she seems to be doing
You really do notice a difference.
Well, yeah, it's either she's 3-legged or 4-legged, and you know if she's 4-legged, she's able to work.
Wow.
How did you find Dr. Dodd?
I opened up the Yellow Pages and called in desperation because she was dead lame in severe pain, and nothing was working. And so she was the third one I called, and she said, yeah, I can see you today.
Very good.
It was like a miracle. The dog walked in on 3 legs and walked out on 4.
Were you skeptical about acupuncture at first?
Yes. I've had it for myself, and
yes.
It didn't seem to work. But I had also looked up online some clinical research, and it did say it would help dogs with hip dysplasia. So I said, geez, you know, anything's worth it.
Try anything,
you know,
yes.
At this point, and it's been a godsend for her.
Very good.
It works great for her.
Well, I see her, and she's on all 4 legs. And
she looks very happy.
Very happy, yes.
Yes, she is. That's Rose saying hi to her family.
Well, very good. Thanks for talking with us. Dr. Dodd, it seems what you do is amazing and helping so many people.
Sometimes I'm even amazed. I mean, I've had dogs that have actual paralyzed limbs, paralyzed facial nerve, and we can get the function back. So sometimes it truly is like a miracle. I feel so lucky to be able to do this, and I've been amazed, and it's a very, very satisfying line of work.
I bet it is.
Okay.
Thank you for visiting with us. We're going to be back live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group, part of our pet-friendly tour of America on Animal Radio with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald and Annie Bruce. It's all on the way. Stick around.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
This is Animal Heart Radio Network.
Oh, this place is picking up here.
Oh, you know, I am having so much fun. I am sitting in, watching through the window, these dogs playing in the pool. They're having so much fun.
If you're just joining us, we're actually looking at a rehab swimming pool for dogs in Denver, Colorado, part of our Pet Friendly America tour. We're at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. If you want to learn more about them, you can head to their website at dog-swim.com. We're talking a lot of dogs, but, you know, we're not speciesist here. We love cats. In fact, we travel with four cats, and one of my catty friends would be Annie Bruce. Annie, welcome. You're kind of shy of dogs, so this is kind of neat for you to show up down here.
Yes, I am a little shy of dogs, but they're really cool here today, and they're jumping in and out of the pool and having a great time.
Yeah, you never could do that with a cat.
Well, you know, I thought about it. It might be fun to watch a cat jump in that pool.
Yeah, for our amusement only.
You know, I used to take my cat. We lived up in Alaska, and I would take him and walk about 3 feet into the snow and put him down and watch him do the hop out of it. It wasn't quite a swimming pool, but I would watch him exit the snow and didn't quite like that part of it.
Louis loves the snow. He goes out jumping in it and playing
in
it.
And now Louis's your black cat?
Yeah, Louis's my black cat, along with Marvin, my man, is black, and Mr. Lincoln is black.
You like black cats for some reason.
I love those cats. They're the smartest.
Are they they're the ones that you'll find at the shelters a lot, huh?
Yes. When you go in a shelter, you'll see tons of black cats.
And why is that?
I think it's just the color. People don't get turned on by just a plain black cat. They think they have to have colors or patterns or spots or something. But if you're overlooking a black cat, you're overlooking a great cat, because I've had them for almost 50 years, and they're a lot of fun.
Now, this is the time of year where, unfortunately, there's a lot of cats born, not intentionally. A lot of, the ones that aren't spayed or neutered have litter after litter around spring, and there's lots of kittens available now, by the way, if you want to go to the shelter and make a home for a kitten. But you're here to talk to us about fostering, and what is fostering for listeners that may not know?
Well, I'm only going to talk about cats here, but fostering cats means to work with a shelter, get some cats that need help to get on their feet before they get adopted, because the main objective of the foster home is to get the cat ready for the next home, to get them socialized or get them well if they're sick. Many of the cats that come in off the streets, it's just like when we come on vacation, we come down sick because they've been on the streets all this time. They get brought into the shelters, and all of a sudden they come down sick because now they're being taken care of. Well, sick cats usually don't want to be aren't adopted. And it takes foster homes, people who will take in these cats to take care of them until the time that the cat is socialized or well enough to go into the next home.
So it's basically supposed to be a temporary thing, right?
Fostering, that's true. That's the simple word. A temporary home.
But it often isn't that situation because you fall in love with these wonderful little creatures, yeah?
You don't fall in love with everyone. I don't. I know a lot of people might, but...
Well, you're picky. You're different.
I know, but I view cats like people, and not every person I want to live with that I meet, you know, do I want to live with them. And it goes the same for cats. Every cat that I meet, I just don't exactly want to live with. But there's many, many cats out there that do need fostering, especially this time of year. It's the springtime, and even in the fall when the kitten season is really heavy. Because kittens, they have to be cared for, and shelters don't have the facilities or the manpower to handle these cats to get them ready for humans.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interested in fostering a litter, what would you do? What would be the first thing that you'd want to do?
I'd contact a shelter, because they can find the homes for cats. That way you're not strapped looking for a home for the cat. And they'll provide the litter. They usually provide veterinarian backup.
Really? All
and
that?
Food.
Oh, I didn't
and,
know that.
24-hour call-in line if you need help. I particularly like working with shelters that have it in their adoption contract to not declaw the cat, because if I'm going to spend a lot of time fostering a cat and taking care of him, I certainly don't want him to go to a home that he's going to be declawed.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we know pretty much how you feel about declawing. I'm not even sure if we should go there.
No, well, I just wanted to bring up as far as fostering those. If you're going to be fostering a cat and taking a lot of time training them to use uh-huh. scratching posts or trimming their nails, you may want to make sure where it's going back to is not going to be a place that might just
now you
not
as a
care.
As a foster parent, do you have the choice? Do you get to select where the animal is placed? Do you have any say in that?
It depends what shelter you're working with. Now, the shelter I used to work with, they would tell me if I had a gut feeling about someone, mm-hmm. I didn't have to adopt to those people, because as a foster home, many people would come to my house and look at cats and
them.
Ask me questions. And if I didn't feel they were appropriate, then I could say no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's how old are the cats usually when you foster them? Do they have their mother with them? Do you need to bottle feed them?
It depends how much time you want to spend. If, for example, I demand that the mother be there so that I don't have to bottle feed the
cats. Oh, isn't that the fun part?
I know.
Round the clock, middle of the night feedings.
I know, I'm pretty lazy. I prefer to have the mother do all the work. But foster homes typically keep the cats or the kittens until they're 8 to 12 weeks old. Where I used to foster through, we keep them there for 12 weeks just to get the immunization built up through the mother's milk.
Uh-huh.
And then they would head back to the shelter? Is that what would happen?
Typically, kittens, they don't stay in the shelter very long because people adopt kittens right away.
Yeah, they love them, huh?
Yes.
So a lot of times they would go straight from the foster home into a real home without going to the shelter.
Into a real home.
Right.
Now, for instance, when I fostered Louie and his entire family, Louie had, it was four kittens plus the mother. And they were all going to be euthanized the very next day because their 5 days was up in the shelter that they were at. And the shelter I fostered for had rescued them and brought them right to my house. But if I hadn't been there that next day, Louie and his entire family would have been put down.
Wow.
They're a good woman.
You know, I'd want to say, too, if you can't foster or take them into your home, go to a shelter, work with these cats, socialize them.
Volunteer.
Spend some time. Volunteer. Yeah.
Volunteering.
If you can't
these
take
cats
them home.
Need socialization. That's what makes a cat a really good pet for someone, is that they're sociable.
What age should they be socialized at?
As soon as possible. As soon as the kitten arrives. If that kitten's 1 week old, start handling them. Because scientific evidence has shown that if a cat is handled for at least 20 minutes a day, right up front, they make really great pets later on.
Very good.
Very good information.
Your website, Annie.
GoodCatsWearBlack.com.
GoodCatsWearBlack.com. We'll put a link from AnimalRadio.com. And what's the deal with the book? Got a new book coming out or a reprint?
Cat Be Good is going to be reissued in the fall. I'm working on the revisions right now this weekend. And so it's going to be out, revised, with new websites in it.
Very good. We're so glad you came out today to visit with us.
Yeah, I can't wait to visit with your kitties after the show.
Of course, they travel with us in the big Alpha Dog vehicle, and they're, we have one that's just a little pain in the
Nike. He's still a baby. He's only a year old.
I've had plenty of babies. This is a different baby. This is Diablo.
Diablo
baby.
Kitty.
Diablo Gato is what this is here.
He's just a sweetheart.
He is. He's
would you like to foster him?
No. No, he's my baby.
In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be back with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. He's going to be talking about obesity. And since we are at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group, we're going to talk with a couple of more of the clients here. You hear the splashes in the background? Those are actually dogs jumping into the pool. They're getting a little bit of therapy for whatever ails them. We'll be back with more Animal Radio right after this.
Pet One, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's a script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
We are live from Denver, Colorado, in the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group, the website dog-swim.com. We thank them so much for letting us come mess up their place. They didn't know that we were going to do that and cause such a
havoc. No, we don't tell them.
Yeah, of course, we tell them that afterwards. This place is full, lots of dogs running around. Dr. Dodd is back with, is this a client that you have here?
That's right. This is a patient of mine, Keisha, and her guardian, Doug.
And what is Keisha here for?
Keisha's got arthritis, and she's got a spinal condition called bridging spondylosis. So she's very stiff. She's a 13-year-old dog.
Is this something that she's had all her life?
Just since she's been older, since, you know, maybe the past 4 or 5 years. She's just been slowing down, kind of a typical older dog. No huge problems, but kind of the nagging. She has trouble getting up, trouble getting around.
What kind of a dog is she?
She's a Samoyed.
Samoyed.
Yeah.
And I imagine that she's getting acupuncture?
She is getting acupuncture, and she really seems to enjoy her treatments.
And she's also going into the pool at all?
No, she is not.
Let's talk to Dad for a second. Who's Dad?
Here's Doug.
Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Very good.
Tell us a little bit about when you realized something was wrong with Keisha. Is that mic on?
Yeah.
You got to hold it right up there.
She had lupus, so she kind of gets tough rock walking around.
What was your first sign? You just saw her kind of limping, or?
Yeah, she has a hard time getting up from her beds in the morning.
Okay, and did you you went to the vet, and the vet recommended Dr. Dodd? How did that whole thing happen?
We actually had her eyes done down the street at the veterinary referral clinic, and they suggested acupuncture for her hips.
Now, you had her eyes done?
Yeah, she had a cornea scratch.
Oh.
So she's a million-dollar baby.
I bet.
She's our
$6 million dog.
Yes, exactly.
Have you noticed a difference?
Oh, yes, huge. In the probably last 6 months, she actually knows when we say we're going to go see Dr. Dodd. She kind of gets excited. She'll jump in the truck and come over and see her. And she has no problem getting around. She now will go up and down the stairs as she wouldn't 6 months ago.
And does she sit there for the acupuncture?
Oh, yeah, 30 minutes. The peanut butter Kongs help a lot. But she, she's very relaxed. She's a little sore afterwards. But for the next 2 weeks, she has a lot of energy, so it definitely is helping her.
So you do it every 2 weeks, you'll come back, yeah?
Not every 2 to 3 weeks, yes.
It's a lifesaver, huh?
Yes, it is.
Were you skeptical about acupuncture at first?
No. Actually, my wife did a lot of research, and after the first visit, we were definitely sold.
Very good. Okay, I'm hearing a lot of great things about acupuncture today. It's some good stuff.
I think people should try it.
Well, it didn't work on me. I had a laminectomy on my back, but not before trying acupuncture and a dozen other things. And let me say, the laminectomy didn't work either. You got to try everything.
You got to try it. You want to try it for your pet.
Yes, you do. And she looks so happy right now. She's a delightful little dog. Doug, thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dodd. In just a couple of minutes here, we're going to be visiting with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Animal Planet's Emergency Vet. He has a brand new 2-hour special coming out. I believe this fall. We'll ask him all the questions about that. That's coming up in just a minute on our live tour from Denver, Colorado. It's the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group, one of our pet-friendly picks for America. We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
We're live, as you can tell, from Denver, Colorado, and the Pet Friendly Animal Tour.
Pet Friendly America.
Pet Friendly America. I'm getting tired, I'm telling you. We just saw this beautiful dog walk in who's being held by its guardians on either side. What are they being held by? Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Emergency Vet joining us. What do you think's happening there?
This guy's got some type of spinal cord injury, you know, and is being held by a little harness, you know, to support him and help him walk. Dogs have 60% of their weight on the front legs, and so that dog is well muscled on the front and compensating.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so,
now, do you think he's here for swimming or for?
He's here for the physical therapy pool, and he's going to maybe swim against a current to try and get some muscle mass back.
Build up his strength.
Yeah.
10 years ago, what did you do for this?
Oh. You know, I think for so long, we were behind the eight ball. We were behind the curve in terms of physical therapy. You know, human physical therapists for so long have done such a wonderful job with rehabilitation and bringing back range of motion. And so I think finally, you know, we're getting to the point with animals after surgery, after different disease processes, or after some types of arthritis, so we can really do something for them and help them. It's a great place.
Yes, it is. And you're also assembling something like this where you work at the Alameda.
Yeah, we've had underwater treadmills for several years. We have a full-time physical therapist there, too, that does, you know, does working with the pets after surgery, after different diseases, after different injuries. So it's amazing.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about obesity. And
oh, you saw the thing in the New England Journal of Medicine.
It's my favorite magazine.
It said that the New England Journal of Medicine said that 62% of Americans are overweight. And I think it's true with our animals. You know, I mean, we're all getting pinchable. You know, and we all we're not as active. You
suck
know,
it
and
in.
Everybody sucks it in. We say that, you know. But I mean, you know, I can't watch the TV show on Animal Planet because I look at that, you see myself on TV, and I go, that's not my neck, that's my dad's neck. You know?
You're joking because you don't look, it's not a big neck
no,
at all.
I mean, no, we're all pinchable. We all could do better. And movement is key. We gotta be active. We've taken an active hunter, searcher species and turned them into couch potatoes with our dogs, and we need to get back to getting them active.
Okay, so how often should they go out? What kind of activity should we be giving them?
Yeah, any kind of activity is great activity. You know, chasing the ball, or, you know, walking, you know, jogging with you. We laughed when I was in vet school and said, you know, there aren't any fat wolves. Well, if you had to chase down everything you ate, you'd be pretty lean.
Hey, there's an idea. I'll put a thing in front of my head to chase my food.
We receive so much you know, gratification and satisfaction from animals dependent on us and needing us to feed them. And, oh, look, you know, he likes me. He's, you know, and so they probably didn't eat, you know, three squares, like, you know, in nature.
And snacks in between.
Yeah.
So when you're working out your dog, you're also working out yourself, too.
It's good. And it's good time to spend with them. You know, animals, these dogs are just a reflection of how much time we spend with them, behavior-wise and temperament-wise. And so people come to me all the time and say, I can't do anything with them, but they haven't tried. So they just, you know, it's good quality time to spend. And I think that, you know, obesity in terms of heart disease and arthritis and all the things, diabetes, all the things that we know are obesity connected.
Related.
So,
uh-huh.
So I mean, just a little bit of you know, activity. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be consistent. You know, it's better to do 10 to 20 minutes every day of good hard exercise than to do something, you know, for an hour on Saturdays.
Now, can the obesity cause problems with the hips and such?
It can aggravate underlying conditions, for sure. I know with myself, when you know I'm a little heavier, it can aggravate things. You know, your feet maybe are more sore when you're on your feet all day or whatever, carrying extra weight, your back, your lower back. So, yeah, we see with certain breeds, dachshunds, for instance, that are, you know, tremendously overweight, blowing these backs out rather than if they were lean and had some muscle mass.
What about diabetes?
Diabetes, we know, is definitely, you know, connected to obesity, and the pancreas trying to keep up with the needs of a bigger and bigger body. You can't do it.
Okay, so we need to exercise with our animals as much as we can. What about the diet?
Well, diet's key. You know, I think we have to give reasonable amounts based on the dog's age. Talking with your veterinarian about your dog's requirements in terms of kidney or liver or special needs. How old is your dog? Is he a young, growing, active guy that's out there doing it? Is he a field trial dog, an agility dog that's getting a lot of exercise? Or do you live, the dog's a couch potato and you're a cliff dweller on the 11th floor of an apartment building? You know, so I think we need to tailor make the diet toward their, and our own diet too, toward the needs and requirements that you have to your activity, matching it to your lifestyle.
Do you believe in a raw food diet, or do you believe in canned food, or do we even want to open that can of food?
That's a really emotional topic, you know, and I think there are things to be said for both sides. I think, though, that you know, all the votes aren't in, and I think that some of the, I've been a little bit concerned, as many people have, with raw diets, whether they're really nutritionally complete, you know, because dogs in nature didn't just eat meat.
No, they didn't.
So several studies have shown, you know, I did stomach contents from the American Museum of Natural History on coyotes in Colorado, and we were surprised at how much plant material they ate.
You know? Really?
Yeah. So it's amazing to me. You know, I mean, I'll never forget, I saw a coyote, and it was an apple tree, and he was munching on these apples, you know. And I was like, wait a minute, he shouldn't be doing that. But you know, people, but they're not obligate carnivores. And so people will tell you, you know, about their dogs and say, he loves grapes. And I go, you're kidding. You know, this dog named
Mike.
But
aren't grapes
Mikey.
Dangerous?
Grapes can be dangerous.
Okay,
exactly
hold that
right.
thought right
You're
there.
Exactly
hold
right.
that thought. Okay. That's what we call a tease in the radio business.
Yes,
okay.
You want to hear about grapes.
We're going to be back. If you're leaving us this hour, remember, if you get an animal this week, please spay or neuter your animal, one or the other, whatever your doctor suggests. And if you want to get a certain breed, you don't have to go to a breeder. You can go to a breed rescue. Don't purchase a dog. There's no need to. So many are being killed every year in the shelters.
So many are waiting for a home.
We are coming to you live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Denver, Colorado, actually Englewood. Dog-Swim is the website. We're going to be back for just a couple of minutes with Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, and then we're going to let him go home. We're also going to be talking about getting an ID, an identification, a driver's license for your cat or dog. Yeah, you heard it here and nowhere else, because no one else would have them.
Right, why not? Our cat has a driver's license.
He has a gold card.
He has a gold credit
card.
An
American Express
so
gold card.
He needs an ID to go with it.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
If you're just joining us, we are live on the Pet Friendly America Tour on Animal Radio from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Denver, Colorado. Actually, Englewood, Colorado, where there are dogs swimming.
Having a lot of fun,
it looks like,
too.
Yeah, it really does. Dad, can I go to the pool this weekend? Rough. The website is dog-swim.com if you want to check it out, if you live in the Denver area, of course. This is a great place. And then, of course, there's the Alameda East Clinic where Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald works. Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald from Emergency Vet on Animal Planet. You've just filmed a brand new 2-hour special that will be appearing this fall on Animal Planet. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be out this fall.
And you're going to be talking about technology?
Yep, new technologies with different things that we can apply to our animals. So it's great. It's, you know, it's pretty interesting.
What kind of technologies should we look for in that program?
You'll see the CAT scan and MR being used. You'll see a lot of ultrasound. You'll see a lot of laparoscopic surgeries and arthroscopic surgeries. We just go into the joint just through tiny incisions. So it's a different ball game.
How do you keep up with this stuff? I know when you went to vet school, they didn't have this.
Just keep trying to learn. You know, you just keep trying to you got to teach an old dog new tricks every day.
So to speak. Okay, tell us about the grapes. This comes from last hour, if you're just joining us. We found out that some dogs like grapes, but...
Well, there is grape toxicity and raisin toxicity. We knew about raisin toxicity for a while, and for a long time we thought that raisins, if they ate a large amount, would ferment in the stomach and produce alcohol.
Yeah.
So we knew that prisoners... I was doing comedy one time, and this prisoner said, you want to come back to my house? And I looked at the guard and said, yeah, you can go back there. And so I went, and the guy was putting a shot glass with... aluminum foil with raisins in it,
oh,
in the sunlight,
God.
And the raisins would ferment over time and make alcohol. And go, there you go, here's a shot, you know. And so he called it Raisin Jack.
So the comedy clubs you would do were prisons.
Sometimes they're hard audiences. but we did comedy for these guys, and they were drinking this Raisin Jack. About a year after that, I saw a dog that had eaten 7 or 8 pounds of a flavored raisin, a sugared raisin.
That's a lot.
That had a sweet, and so the dog was really having problems, and he had a high blood alcohol, and we had worried that the stomach had acted, you know, the warmth of the stomach to ferment this. But some of them don't eat that much, and they don't have a high blood alcohol. So then we started to look at maybe decaying raisins, producing yeast and some aflatoxins that were doing that, and also grapes. So we don't know exactly about the actual ingredient grape toxicity, but some dogs that eat a large amount of grapes will show some neurological signs and have some problems.
So keep the grapes away from the animal.
Just the amount. And if they eat one grape, they're fine. You know, I think you have to be reasonable about what they eat. You know.
Yeah, just not pound.
You told us once that chocolate, we all know that, well, most of us know chocolate could be very toxic, but especially that yucky chocolate.
Two kinds of chocolate.
Okay.
There's milk chocolate, which is roasted and fermented, and the roasting process cooks out the theobromine, which is the active ingredient, the caffeine first cousin in chocolate. And unsweetened baking chocolate, the cooking chocolate that your grandmother used, isn't fermented, so it doesn't produce sugar, so it's not sweet, and so it has 10 times the amount of theobromine.
Wow.
That's the culprit. That's the one that's bad. So when you go to your grandmother's house and she's cooking, and you say, "What's that?" and she says, "Chocolate." And you take a bite, you go, "That's not chocolate. That's not the chocolate I'm used to." So it's unsweetened baking chocolate. And in 23 years in the emergency room, I've seen one death to chocolate.
Oh, really?
And it was a 20-pound dachshund who had eaten 2 pounds of baking chocolate.
Oh.
But chocolate itself can be toxic. You know, the milk chocolate, it's irritating to the gut lining. We get vomiting. But a 60-pound lab that eats one Hershey's Kiss, you know, you don't need to pump his stomach. But we have to be reasonable about what we give him. And dogs have a tremendous sweet tooth, and so we have to be careful. And they think anything on a tabletop is food, and anything on a tabletop in the bedroom, you know, on the nightstand, having pills there, or maybe pills that are flavored, that you know. So we have to be very careful about what we... they're just... at our whim sometimes about what we expose them to, so we have to be very careful.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to, for the last 3 hours, Most Eligible Bachelor, according to the 2003
People Magazine.
People Magazine.
Yeah, Popular Mechanics.
No.
From Emergency Vet and Animal Planet. And what else? A former Rolling Stone bouncer. Who got a little advice from Keith Richards. By the way, you look nothing like a bouncer. You're a stringy guy. I'd mess with you, and I'm stringy.
Yeah,
and he's also a comedian.
And comedian.
Don't forget that.
You're a multi-talented guy and a frequent guest on Animal Radio. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thanks for all you do.
We love
nice
having
to see you
again.
No, anytime. I'm in the reserves for you, so anytime.
Doctor,
thanks for all you do.
Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald, thank you so very much for joining us. We are coming to you live from the Canine and Condition Rehabilitation Group. I just found out Jack Hanna, the conservationist, will be talking with us in about 15 minutes or so. We're looking forward to that. Also, did you ever think about getting a driver's license for your animal? You heard me right. Don't change the channel. This is real stuff here. Get the driver's license to go along with the credit card, because right now we have a cat who has a gold card but is always being asked for some identification. That's coming up next right here on Animal Radio. Thanks for sticking around.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without him. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
Cut one, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's the script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled, and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
And we are coming to you live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. You can tell I'm getting tired, Judy.
Well, we're going into our third hour. We've been out here all morning, but it's been a lot of fun. I am still sitting here watching the dogs. It's just been an endless streams of dogs in and out of the pool. They look like they're having so much fun, and I think their owners are having fun, too.
We'll post some pictures on the Internet so that you can see the dogs jumping in the swimming pool. It's great. Most of them getting therapy for... well, you know, whatever ails them.
Post-surgery. You know, and I don't think they know it. They are enjoying themselves so much, they don't know that this is actual therapy. They think it's just a play date.
You know, I thought it was going to smell like wet dog in here.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but it doesn't.
No,
I'm surprised now that you mention it. I don't know how they keep it like that, but no, it doesn't. Maybe it's something they put in the water.
We'll try to talk with them a little more and find out a little more about it. It's dog-swim.com if you want to find out about the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. Jack Hanna will be joining us in just a few minutes, but right now a very special guest who's... I wish I could hold this up to the microphone so that you can see it. This is amusing. I'm looking at a driver's license with the picture of a dog with glasses. And, you know, it seems silly, but as I'd mentioned in previous shows, we just acquired an American Express gold card for our kitty, Bugarelli. And, of course, when he tries to use it...
they ask for his ID.
And so this, we had to follow up and see if we could get an ID. We have, it is Joy, right?
It is Joy, yes.
Hi, Joy. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
You produce these driver's licenses with people's IDs. Let me ask you the first question. Is this your full-time job?
It is my full-time job.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So you're able to pay the rent with this, huh?
Thus far. Chloe helps out quite a bit, though, the dog on the picture there.
Is this your dog,
it
Chloe?
It is, Chloe.
How many years have you been doing this?
A little over 10 years.
And how many sales would you say you get in a month, let's say?
Oh, gosh. We probably license anywhere from 3 to 5,000 dogs, cats, pigs, horses a month.
Now, do they expire?
They do expire.
Oh, so you have to renew them.
You do have
regular...
to renew them.
Okay, well, we don't want an expired license out there.
Okay, what kind of people are you finding or getting driver's licenses for their pets?
You know, pretty much anyone who... adores and loves their pet and wants some sort of personalized ID, because it is a personalized ID in any state in the United States as well as all the Canadian provinces. You can put your dog or cat or horse or pig's picture on there, dog's name, address, phone number, contact, does it need medication?
What was it that you were drinking at the time? Was it Merlot when you thought of it? How did you come up with this idea?
Actually, my business partner, Mary Kinez, came up with the idea, and it was literally just really fun. Chloe is always behind the wheel, and we thought if she's going to be driving, we better do it legally. And so we decided to come up with a nifty way to make her legal. And she's been doing it ever since, and all of her friends wanted one. And boom, 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 a business.
You must be advertising in magazines, or where do you advertise?
We are. We're in the BARC magazine out of Berkeley, California. We're also donate to Best Friends, and we're in their publications quarterly. And word of mouth, we do a lot of press releases, different
Well, you gotta
newspapers.
Have one.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have one.
Yes, and we're going to make sure that we get some for our... how much do you charge for these?
They're $15.
$15?
$15.
Good.
How fun.
And how long does it take you to do it?
2 to 3 weeks.
And so people send you the pictures of their dogs?
They send the picture either snail mail or via the internet, and we send it all to you.
You know what? We got to put a picture of this on the website at animalradio.com.
Yeah.
We'll put a picture up so you can see this. It's absolutely hilarious. A great idea. It says... Oh, you make fridge magnets also, and collar wallets, and luggage tags, and ID tags. Boy, you really got it going on here, don't you?
Yeah.
And a website, which is petdriverslicense.com. Petdriverslicense.com. Any funny stories to go along with any of these?
Oh, there are a lot of stories. There are a lot on the website, actually. Someone gave us a slogan we might have to use soon, which is, you'll love to be pulled over, because we've had so many people tell us, I was pulled over, and as soon as I pulled out my pet driver's license, the police officer started dying laughing, and all of a sudden I was driving away.
You got away without the ticket.
And didn't get the ticket.
Oh, that's a very clever idea. One of those tickets there by showing the driver's license of your animal. That's great. And you have all these states. You didn't get in any trouble so far, have you?
Not in the beginning, no. Well, actually, we had some bad press in the beginning. Someone was trying to say that, a young person could possibly use this as a fake ID. And we had
ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty, with hair challenged. So, but so many people wrote in and said, are you serious? Are we seriously going to say that a driver's license with a pet on there could be mistaken for a human license? And it wound up being turned around, and it wound up being a lot of good press. So,
It is a great idea, and we absolutely love it here. And we'll put a link from the animalradio.com website on there. And
thank you so much.
If you are interested in getting your pet a pet driver's license, head on over to www.petdriverslicense.com. For $15, such a deal, I'm telling you.
Well, especially if it gets you out of a ticket, think of all the money you save.
Yeah, right there alone. Yes. I like that. Joy, thanks so much for visiting with
us
today.
Thanks for having us.
Well, no problem. We are coming to you live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Denver, Colorado. And in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking with Jack Hanna right here on Animal Radio. Stick around.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Cut one, Term Lifeline, 60-second spot.
Term life insurance. Everybody should have the right protection, and there's only one place to get it. The Term Lifeline.
I can't read this script anymore. There's the script. Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled, and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
It's the beginning of the Pet Friendly America Tour from Denver, Colorado at the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. The website, dog-swim.com. We've had Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald on today. He has just left.
Dr. Fitzgerald has left the building. Ladies.
The most eligible bachelor still.
Yes, he is, that. Women, I tell ya. Man, if I was a single woman.
I think that's the only reason you book him for the show, I'm pretty sure.
No comment.
Yeah, okay. Coming up in just a minute, Dr. Jack Hanna is not a doctor. Boy, you can tell I'm tired. But the neat thing about this place is it's a swimming pool. The phone's ringing. It's a swimming pool, and there are dogs who are, they might be ailing from hips that might be hurting, therapy. It's sort of a therapy for them, and they're playing in the pool just like a bunch of kids playing in the pool. And we're actually going to talk to someone right now who's, you know, it's a live radio show there.
Live radio show. Someone was trying to listen to us live. Trying to figure out how they could listen to us live in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think in Reading, Pennsylvania, we're on WEEU. There you go. Who do we have here?
We have Denise, and she's here with Tipper.
Yeah. Tipper. Hi, Denise. Hi, Tipper. What's Tipper here for?
Well, actually, it's her stepsister, Tasha. Tasha has a pretty... She has a lot of arthritis in her hips.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started the therapy pool. It's kind of like a huge hot tub with jets, and she just, and they have static waves pushing at her, and she's swimming for 30 minutes.
The endless pool, they
the
call
endless
it.
The endless pool, yeah, yeah. She loves it.
Now,
she does.
When did you realize that there was something awry?
Oh, when she started having trouble rising, you know, from a laying down position, and she has huge nodules on her ankles, which is arthritis, and so, and she's 13-ish years old, and she's doing really well.
And she went to the vet, and the vet said maybe a little therapy, perhaps?
Actually, I'd read about it on the web, and I did some research. I was trying to find therapy pools in the Colorado region. I live in...
So you knew about therapy pools prior to...
Yeah. Well, I watch Animal Planet. I see Dr. Fitzgerald.
Everybody knows
Dr. Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you brought Tasha here, and Tasha is goes into the pool and enjoys
She wears
it.
She wears her little red life vest.
Oh, really? Okay.
She just paddles.
And now, does she know when she's coming, and does she get excited?
Oh, yeah.
She's
I think
willing.
She does.
This is not something she dreads.
No, we've been doing this now for about 6 weeks, and it has really made a huge difference.
Once a week?
Every Saturday, because I'm coming here from the Colorado Springs area, so it takes me about an hour to get here.
There's nothing in Colorado Springs,
no,
huh?
No, there's nothing.
You know, I'm kind of curious, these dogs that are coming for therapy, when their therapy's finished, I think they'll be very upset. I think they'll like to come back on a regular basis.
Sure. They have so much fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we come here every Saturday, and then we take a walk around Chatfield Dam, and it's great.
It gets you out of the house, too. A little.
It does. I love it. I do.
You do enjoy it. And have you noticed a difference with the animals? Do they act like their pain is being alleviated, or do they... Really? Okay.
Yeah, very much so. Tasha is much more playful, much more... She looks... People think she's about 8 years of age.
Really?
Yeah, so she does really well.
And now why is Tipper here? Is Tipper here also just to join the gang?
Tipper's here to make sure Tasha's okay. They never go anywhere without the other. So.
And so does Tipper get in the pool at all, or just sits and washes?
We threw Tipper into the large pool once. Throw is not the appropriate word, but she's got very thick hair. She looks like a small newfie, and... She didn't care for the swimming. She's up. She's willing to go up to her ankles in water. That's as far as she'll go.
That's her limit, huh?
So we're going to... We'll try it again sometime. But Tasha really loves the static wave.
It's a great place. It's wonderful. And it's. I'm sorry that they don't have anything like this in Colorado Springs. Listen up, Colorado Springs.
Indeed.
Time to open one up.
Indeed.
Have you noticed that... In the last few years... Oh, well, Tipper wants to go, but I'm not going to let you go yet. Are you willing to spend more on your animal now? Oh, come here, Tipper.
Tipper, back to me.
Any treats or anything for Tipper over here?
There must be a male dog over there.
I don't have any treats.
Oh, we're cool.
Oh, there you go. If you want to grab one, Judy, you can grab one up there. Right there. Up there. Heads. Got treats there. Are you willing to spend more on your animal now than perhaps you would have 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
if this had been available 10 or 20 years ago, and if my puppies needed it, I would do it. I'm definitely a dog person, and my husband is as well. And we give them their homemade dog biscuits, and they're definitely, you know, they are our kids. We treat them as such.
Just as family.
They are family.
God bless you.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you very much.
And we'll put in a good word in Colorado Springs and make sure we get something down
thank
there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
We are coming to you live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group. Up next, we're going to be talking to Jack Hanna.
The Jack Hanna.
The Jack Hanna.
Boy, we get all the great guests here, I tell you.
Well, you do that.
Well, that's right. I'm the one that books them.
Yeah.
I book all the great guests here. You can thank me.
Oh, she's so modest. God bless her. It's Animal Radio. You lucky devil, you.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I worked nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog, even in the daytime. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
The next person we're going to talk to, Jack Hanna. You know him from David Letterman, Good Morning America, Larry King, Johnny Carson. You've seen him all over TV. He's one of the world's most recognized environmentalists. And is that a good description of you, Jack?
You know, that's a good one. I'd heard that one. I don't know. They have a lot of descriptions of me, but I'm not an animal expert. I guess I would be a conservationist, a person that loves to teach conservation and having fun and, you know, entertainment and learning something at the same time, which is, I think the key to when we were all in school, if you had a teacher that was fun and you could learn in a fun way, you know, kids take that home with them.
Did you have a teacher like that?
I had a couple. Yeah, I really did. They made the class fun, and that's what really a good zoo does. They make the visit fun for the entire family. When they leave the zoological park or aquarium, they have learned something. And a great zoo or aquarium is one that when you go there, your whole family goes there, they have a great day, and when they leave there, they say, man, I didn't know this whale was that big, or this giraffe had 7 vertebrae, or whatever it might be.
Well, in just a second, we're going to be talking about the American Zoo and Aquarium Association's most endangered list, but I wanted to find out a little bit about you. You got started in your bathtub in Knoxville,
yeah.
Tennessee. Tell us about that.
Well, I just as a young boy, like a lot of young kids, you know, back then not many people cared about zoos or aquariums. And there weren't many aquariums anywhere in the country back then. I think she had an aquarium in Chicago, and there were a few others, obviously, but not many back in the 60s and late in the 50s. And most zoos weren't places people liked to go to. So I just started there on the farm, loving animals like anybody, and went to work for a veterinarian when I was 12. I cleaned cages for 4 years. And then when he was also the zoo veterinarian for the Knoxville Zoo, a little old zoo there. And when I was 16, I said, someday I want to be a zookeeper. And I never wavered from that through high school, college. Became a zookeeper at Knoxville, then a curator. They went to Florida, became a zoo director at a little old zoo with 5 employees. They went to Columbus, Ohio in 1978. And that's where I've been ever since. And, you know, I love what I do. I think that's the key. I was taught 3 words on our farm, and that was hard work and enthusiasm.
Hard work and enthusiasm.
Yeah, those 3 words my dad taught me, and I've always tried to work hard, and I've always loved what I do, enthusiastic about what I do. So that's kind of how it all got started as far as the television stuff. You know, that's my greatest accomplishment or what I love to do, I guess, what I'm self-satisfied most is the accomplishment of the Columbus Zoo and all the people who worked so hard to build a great zoo. And that's what I really enjoy. You know, the TV is something, you know, that probably anybody can do, but I've just been very fortunate to have a TV series and enjoy the shows, and I represent the animal world on those shows.
Well, now you've gotten together with the American Zoo and Aquarium Association to put together the top 10 endangered animal list.
Right, right.
And
the right.
And we're going to run down the list real fast if we can. You can tell us a little bit about these animals.
All right. I think the key is obviously it's wonders of the water too. That's what the American Zoo and Aquarium Association is all about. That's what we're promoting right now in this press conference, and it's just about what water, how important water is. I often said back 30 years ago, I told people that water was going to be more expensive than gasoline. You know, of course now I don't know, but it still really is. When we go filming, for example, in Africa, or I don't care where it is, the bottom of the world, wherever we go. The Amazon jungle, we really literally spend more for our water. We have to have water to exist, and so do all these animals. Everybody on the planet has to have water to exist. You know, when you talk about the oceans of the world, we talk about our weather's affected there, our food sources, and the list goes on and on and on. And some of these animals, for example, one of them is a green sea turtle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it wasn't for the oceans, you know, you can think of the pollution in the oceans with the plastic bags. They think it's a jellyfish. That's what a lot of sea turtles eat. And so they ingest these, and they die. So we have to have good water for the sea turtle, the bald eagle. I've done a lot of filming of bald eagle, not only in Florida and Alaska, filmed many bald eagles. And, of course, bald eagles, as you well know, a lot of the DDT, way back in the 1970s, 60s, we almost lost the bald eagle because of the thin eggs, because of all the runoff of all the chemicals in the water. That since has stopped, and the bald eagle, as you well know, has now gone from, I think it's endangered, down to the threatened list. In Ohio, when I went there in 1978, there were 5 nesting pairs of bald eagles in Lake Erie, 5. Today there's over 100. So you can see how we're coming back with that. The corals of the world. I don't need to tell you how valuable coral reefs of the world are.
Wait. Jack, corals are rocks, aren't they?
No. Corals are living organisms.
They are.
People don't realize how important corals are. You know, did you see the tsunami, the devastation? I don't know if you saw some of the reports on TV of those beautiful coral reefs that were there prior to the tsunami, and then afterwards it looks like a desert.
Yes.
That's going to be a tragic. A tragic thing. We don't know what the effects of that will be on our Earth or on the fishes of the oceans in that part of the world. But corals are phenomenal. I've dove the Great Barrier Reef. I've dove in South Africa, Australia, and the Great Barrier Reef there, and all sorts of reefs in the Caribbean. And the corals, living mechanisms, organisms that supply such a great habitat and food sources for all the fishes in the ocean. So I don't need to tell you how important the corals are and how important the clean water is. Polar bears. There's one up that we've actually flown up in the Northwest Territories and done tremendous shows up in Churchill on the polar bear. Now, if you've heard recently, in the last year or two, polar bears now are now showing the sexes of both male and female due to a lot of the pollutions. We think in that part of the world, because your pollutions in the world, air pollution especially in water, goes to the poles. You know, I'm talking about the North Pole and South Pole.
How does it do that? Why does it go to the poles? I don't understand.
Because of your currents. Because of your currents, your water currents as well as your air currents. They flow that way, and they tend to pile up at the top and the bottom. Hmm. We've heard about the ozone problem at the bottom. So the polar bears tell us kind of, they're doing a lot of research right now to find out what type of problems we have now up toward the North Pole there in the Northwest Territories. With these polar bears, and they're a phenomenal animal. I actually filmed them in October several years ago up in Churchill, when all the males were congregating on these this land masses, and they're huge and magnificent creatures. Mm-hmm. Freshwater rays. I don't need to go into freshwater rays. Obviously, without fresh water, you have a lot of problems with a lot of the animals. Seahorses are the same thing. Beautiful creatures. I haven't done that much filming of the seahorses underwater. African penguins. A lot of people think that penguins are cold weather, right? Wouldn't you think that? All penguins.
Definitely.
Well,
you have about
17 species of penguin, and only about 4 or 5 live in cold weather, live in the Antarctic. You know, people think the penguins live in the North Pole. They live in the South Pole. Only polar bears toward the North Pole. But the penguins are an animal that depends on a lot of krill, a lot of fish in the oceans, and a lot of these are warm weather penguins. Like in Australia, you have a penguin. In South America, Africa, Galapagos Islands, and these are all places you have penguins that are warm weather penguins. Hmm. And of course, the oceans provide the food sources for the penguins. Sand tiger sharks. You know, I need to tell you what's happened to the shark populations in the world through education. We have shark fin soup. We have a lot of people that like to catch sharks and bash them in the head. You know, because sharks are supposed to be deadly killers. But we don't take all of our automobiles and bash them over with a sledgehammer when people are injured or killed, do we?
No.
But it seems like whenever an animal does something, you know, everybody panics, and you know, because it's news, and we have to kind of go out and do something to some of these animals. Now, the sharks, I think, are magnificent creatures. I've actually dove with the white sharks in South Africa, as well as tiger sharks off the coast. I think it was South America. I can't remember. Oh, another one I just did. Just dove with the big old, can't remember the name of them, the largest fish in the ocean. Whale sharks. They call them whale shark. That's it. See, I get so confused where I go, I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, the whale sharks are the largest fish in the ocean, about 30-something feet, and I dove with them off Belize last year. Phenomenal creatures. They look, they're baleen. They understand they're the largest fish in the ocean. They're not a, really, they look like a shark, and they're as big as a whale, so they're incredible. The North American otter, there's an animal that was going downhill very quickly in Ohio. It's coming back a little bit in Montana, where I live part-time. We don't see the otters we used to see. The Asian small clawed otter has a problem in Asia, obviously. North American otter was hunted for its fur, but otters depend on the waters to live, as well as the fresh food there. The Puerto Rican crested toad is another incredible creature in Puerto Rico. We went to film there about 3 years ago. We did the bats and caves there and the Puerto Rican boa, which is very, very endangered, as well as the Puerto Rican crested toad. A lot of your toads, if you remember, well, I'm a little older probably than you all, I don't know, but back in the old days, we used to have frogs and toads and everything on our back steps, and we've lost 40% of all amphibians in the last 30 years. 40% of amphibians are gone.
Jeez. Now, what can the average person do to help?
Well, the average person can do to help is get out there as far as conserve water. You know, I shouldn't even be saying anything, probably. The showers you take, you go to Africa, we travel, we can exist on a half a bucket of water, maybe 2-3 gallons, less than that, to bathe in every 2 days. And we can all conserve water, there's no doubt about that. We can all watch what we do, obviously, with throwing plastic down, all sorts of things. I just watched a person this morning. I'm down in Florida working right now. People throwing stuff out on the beach, you know, and I can't take a walk on the beach anymore. I have to pick up stuff all the time. Recycling. You know, I think my generation did more damage to the planet than any previous generation in the history of the world. Today's generation, these young people today, I think are doing more to save it than any generation in the history of the world.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think through education, you know, it's obvious things we can do. You know, there's many, many obvious things all of us can do to conserve water. And as I said before, without water, you know, we don't have much of a chance at all. I mean, you think of the American Zoo and Aquarium Association, people think of zoos and aquariums, and what do we do? Well, right now we have about 1,400 conservation projects in 80 different countries. Can you imagine that? The Columbus Zoo alone has 36 conservation projects around the world that we pump in about over $1 million every year to.
Wow.
So now all the zoos and aquariums now are all supporting conservation projects all around the world, which 20 years ago, I don't know if we supported hardly any.
No.
So it's awareness and education.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, people don't seem to understand that it's not a matter of us going into a third world country or any country. You know, we don't do such a hot job in our own country right now. You know, we have to educate people before they can serve. You know, people ask me, what's the number one goal of an American Zoo Association, a zoo or aquarium? Or what's the number one goal? To me, education is. Yes, we all talk about conservation, but what good does it do to conserve everything if people aren't educated? I've gone to every country in the world. I've seen this firsthand, where we go in there and we try and tell them about how to conserve this and conserve that. But you know, you can't blame some of these countries. They've done this for generations, for thousands of years. They've killed this animal or killed that animal for certain, you know, foods or medicinal purposes. And we have to educate people first and say, well, you shouldn't do this because of this. You know, and
yes,
that's what we're doing now throughout all the projects we support.
Very good.
Wow. I forgot how fast a talker you are. Go ahead and take a breath, Jack.
Oh, I've got about 4 or 5 of these different interviews this morning, not just for the American Zoo thing, but I got to do a bunch of stuff we're getting ready to leave for Australia for our New 7 show, so I'm trying to get all this done this morning.
Yeah, I wanted to...
If I went too fast, I could do it over.
No, I wanted to remind everybody that you can check Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures out.
Yep, we've got 7 more shows for this season, and we're going to be doing those... here in about another week and a half over in Australia, so that should be a lot of fun.
And is there a website that we can go to learn more?
JackHanna.com.
JackHanna.com.
There you go.
This has been very exciting to actually have you on Animal Radio. I learned today that coral is actually a living
creature.
Living organism.
Oh, yeah. It grows and everything else. Yeah, it's not like a rock which doesn't grow. You know, and people even, you talk about the tsunami, which we talked about briefly. People wonder, you remember how I did a lot of interviews for a lot of the networks about how the animals knew before it hit.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Well, definitely.
There's no vibrations went faster through rock than water, and that's why these elephants took off half an hour before the tsunami even hit, because they, you know, animal, we need to pay more attention to the animal world. They can help us a lot. You know, they're going to be here probably long after mankind is gone. Hopefully they'll be here. They always were here before we were here. And that's probably what's going to happen. You know, we need to start listening to what the animals are telling us.
We appreciate your time today. And And we'll...
Go ahead.
We love talking to you, and you're always welcome on Animal Radio. Those of you that want to learn a little more, it's jackhanna.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep, that's it.
Remember, don't litter on the beaches. Don't litter our water. The water is our very precious resource. We need it very dearly.
Conserve and recycle.
So you visit some of your local zoos, too, and aquariums. They got a lot of stuff happening this in June and July about, you know, the wonders of the of water in a lot of these zoos. They're having special days and all sorts of exciting things.
Thanks, Jack. Please take care of yourself. Have a wonderful time on your trip.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. I'll see you at the local zoo aquarium.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Jack Hanna, that interview was supposed to last 10 minutes, and it's over already, so I guess we'll just... well, you can call us. We're here at 1-866-405-8405. We have about 5 minutes left.
I have never heard somebody talk so
fast.
He didn't
take a breath.
No, he didn't. Wow. He had a lot to say, though.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
I don't know about you.
What about you?
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
And I'm looking at the Bill Jack liver treats for dogs, which I've been smelling for the last 10 minutes. It smells good.
They're starting to look good to you, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are. It is Animal Radio. We are coming to you live from the Canine and Conditioning Rehabilitation Group in Englewood, Colorado. Once again, the website is dog-swim.com. And you definitely want to check it out. We heard from a client today who said they came up all the way from Colorado Springs, which is about 40 minutes to an hour.
I was just going
to
ask you. I don't know where that is. How far is that?
It's south, and it's kind of a far way to drive unless you want to therapize your dog. Is there such a word as therapize?
Well, there is now. There you just made it up.
Obviously, there's a need for it, and it's very important for dogs that are rehabilitating from surgeries or might have arthritis. And unfortunately, none in Colorado Springs, but perhaps Jill. Jill, is it Strub or is it Strub?
It's
Strub, okay. Jill, you, how long have you worked here?
Since they opened.
How long has that been?
Well, actually, since before they opened. I've been working with Marty since January.
Uh-huh.
And what...
Didn't they just open in February,
mm-hmm.
was it?
Correct.
What did you do before this?
I'm a certified veterinary technician. I was working for a veterinary cardiologist.
Oh, very good.
What a switch.
But yeah. This is probably more fun, huh?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Now, I noticed you're wet.
Oh, yes. I
did you get splashed?
No, I got in.
You on purpose?
Yes, I got in on purpose, helping a dog figure out how to use the ramp and be comfortable in the water. Because I don't have to teach them how to swim. They know how to swim.
So it's just all in the day's work, huh?
Yeah, basically. Basically. I know I have to bring more than one outfit to work every day.
Isn't that called, like, combat pay or something? What do they call that when you...
Hazard pay.
Hazard pay, yeah, something like that.
It's a five-day, seven-day job. What is it?
Yeah, I work 5 days a week, normally. And I'm just helping out today.
And the animals that come in here are usually, they're ailing from something, right?
Yes and no. A lot of the dogs that use the big pool, the recreational pool, they come just for fun.
Oh, really?
And for training. We have people who do water retrieving, and they come here for conditioning their dogs, fly ball dogs, frisbee dogs.
So you don't have to be sick to come here?
No. We have Newfoundlands that come, and they're water rescue dogs, and they're doing conditioning for the wintertime. Keep them in shape.
Well, that's very good to know.
Yeah, so they like to come here for fun.
Well, I noticed all the dogs here, whether they're sick or not, all look very happy.
Oh, definitely.
They seem to enjoy coming here, and they probably every weekend annoy their owners till they come here.
Yeah.
So that's what I've heard. Is this like a gym where it's real busy during the winter, but in the summer it kind of slows off?
Well,
everybody's
since
outside.
We've just opened in January.
That's really hard to say. Know.
Yeah, we just don't
I got know. A little tip for you. Open another one in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah. I mean, I have people who are already setting up carpools. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
How much does it cost for a dog to visit here?
For the recreational pool, for the big pool, it's $15 for the first visit, and that covers the introduction, me getting in the water with them or whatever's needed. And then from then on, it's $6 for the first dog, $5 for the second dog, and that they can swim for as long as they want that day.
As long as they want.
Yeah.
That's really very affordable.
Yeah.
Now, I also noticed that everybody seems to be getting along. Do you have to have, like, families bring in their dogs separate from other families, or do you put different dogs together from, do you ever have the problem?
The pool is open anytime to anybody, but we do prioritize as far as if we have an aggressive dog, they're going to have to wait until everybody else has swum, you know, until the other dogs have had their fun.
Can you reserve it for a certain time?
We are having pool parties.
Yeah, I was going to say,
we're having birthday parties, pool parties, and that sort of thing when we're after hours, you know, so we don't have to close the pool down. But
okay, when I first came here, I thought this place was going to smell like wet dog. Why doesn't it?
How do you do that?
I know. It's a lot of hard work. Water control or dealing with the water is probably the biggest part of my job, actually, because everything gets wet. And it's just, you know, getting rid of the water. And, I mean, we use very minimal chlorine in the water. So,
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah,
chemicals?
Yeah, we use a Nature 2 system. So we use the smallest amount. I mean, it makes my skin dry. So I can only imagine it makes their skin dry if we use too much.
Too much. You have to be careful
and
monitor that.
Yeah.
Well, we have had so much fun here today, and we want to thank you so very much for letting us come play with you guys.
Thanks for coming.
I have one of the best seats in the house. I'm sitting here watching through the window of these dogs just having a blast in the pool.
You can hear them splashing. We're going to take some pictures and we'll put them up on the internet site. We want to thank Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald for joining us today. Of course, Annie Bruce. Hey, Annie, how you doing? Still here.
Annie.
We always love having Annie on the show. We want to thank Jack Hanna for joining us today. That was fun. Next week, Joan Embry will be joining us. How did you wing that one?
I tell you, I can book them.
Yes,
you want
can.
A guest, you just come to me. I'll get you the number one guest.
You're awesome. And, of course, the Pet Friendly America Tour will continue where? We don't know.
You tell us.
Yes, you can write us.
Tell us about your city. Tell us if it's pet friendly and that we should visit.
Or if there's a pet friendly organization there. The address is yourvoice@animalradio.com. yourvoice@animalradio.com, or you can call us at 1-866-405-8405.
Now, how did you remember that number
without it being written here?
Yeah, in front of your face on the board.
Ingrained in my head. I dream about it now. It will never leave me. Randy Grimm will be joining us next week also, which is very exciting. He is he rescues animals in St. Louis.
He has a little shelter, I believe.
He's also very phobic. He's afraid of lots of things. And through the last year, he has become unphobic. Can you say that? Unphobic. I'm making up the words today like nobody's business. And he has a dog by the name of Quentin, and named that after the gas chamber. Quentin was... unfortunately, they attempted to euthanize Quentin in a gas chamber. They still use those in major cities, believe it or not. This was in St. Louis.
Yes, with about seven other dogs.
He lived, and they opened up the gas chamber, and he was there standing on top of the seven other dogs.
Yes.
And that was a sign for Randy Grimm. That was a sign to perhaps tour with this dog to eliminate gas chambers.
Bring awareness that it's still going on. It's barbaric.
And we'll be talking with him next week as well as Joan Embry.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to animalradio.com and listen to it. Have yourself a wonderful week. And remember, if you're going to get an animal, spay or neuter
your pet.
And don't go to a breeder.
Don't purchase your dog.
Breed rescues everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Even cats. You can find specific breeds.
Have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.